sound on? We are live.
No. We're live. So you mean right now people can hear me?
Everybody can hear you.
Everybody can hear me.
The whole world.
Well, look at that. Look at that Jason Dudio Gore. The dude who built the studio.
And I'm in the studio.
And you're in the studio. How about that?
Yeah.
Just like the late, great Mel Allen said, how about that? And now look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're all grown up, just like in Swingers.
Yeah. It's like I can put the tassel from one side of my hat to the other side. I feel like a grown up.
That's like a graduation thing, right?
Yeah, that's a graduation. It has nothing to do with... If I were going to say Swingers, I would have made a money joke.
You're so money and you don't know it. I saw a thing... I forget where I saw a clip from Swingers recently, and I was like, those dudes don't look like that no more.
No.
They were like movie stars then. Now they look like guys that run like pool shop, like pool, like a store that sells chlorine, like one of those, like a pool, yeah. Like they look like two brothers that own like a pool maintenance shop.
Yeah. They know all the different types of chlorine, like the pellets.
Yeah. Yeah.
What hose to use.
Like, yeah. They're just like, well, do you want this vacuum, like this, pool cleaner is robotic and goes on the bottom of the pool. You could just put it down there. You come back 3 hours later. It's clean. Wait, weren't you the guy from, weren't you that movie star from Swingers? Like the most handsome dude going? I'm not putting them down for their thing. Look at me. I've looked like this my whole life. The only thing I got going for me is that I got the Danny DeVito thing going for me. I look like a mess early. I look like a mess early. And then the thing is, if you just hang in there, you just have to just don't go off the cliff completely with your personal appearance. And then people are like, hey, he looks pretty good. Just because the people who looked so much better, nature is taking its course and bringing them low or lower. And you got somebody like me, like the way Danny DeVito's like, hey, you know, he still looks pretty good.
Speaking of Danny DeVito, did you see Be Cool? I only saw that recently.
Oh,
have
yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, am worst. I wrong to think that Vince Vaughn was pretty funny in that?
No, I don't know if you're wrong. I mean, it's one of the movie just didn't add up. It's one of those movies. I think everybody worked, all those actors worked very hard in that movie to try to overcome something that just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm. I thought, I agree with that, but I say that Vince Vaughn was shining above them all. He kind of went further out there. He was willing to look really stupid in that movie, and I thought, you know, he actually was funny.
I rode on a plane with Vince Vaughn like 2 years ago.
I don't know. Is he coming on the show? Yeah. You going to use that?
No, trust me. It would not work. But I will say that the pilot realized that Vince Vaughn was on his flight and he was so excited. Mm-hmm. So once we took off and we get up to whatever, 30,000 feet, and the pilot gets on there, the horn, you know, to do his introductions, and he goes, and we are now cruising at a very money 30,000 feet.
Oh, I would have walked out.
You couldn't at that point.
Oh, no, I would have. I would have taken my chances.
Let me out.
I would say, give me a parachute.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
And when we were landing, he was like, he said something about putting up your tray tables. And he said, that means you, Mr. Vaughn.
That's awful. Vince Vaughn probably should have complained.
Yeah.
And gotten the pilot fired.
Well, the pilot got a picture with him right at the end. And at the end, so he was doing a selfie with Vince Vaughn at the end, and I'm walking out right behind Vince, and the camera messes up, and he's like, oh, okay, we got to do that again. So they take another selfie, and then the camera messes up again, and Vince Vaughn just looks at me, and he's like, I don't know what's going on here. And I'm like, hey, well, you know, and they took a third picture, and it works. And then I've never seen a man move so fast to get away from a situation.
So Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. He had to get back to the pool shop.
Long strides.
And look.
He's tall, right? He's pretty tall, right?
Big guy. Mm-hmm. Tall guy. Probably like 7'9".
Oh, 8'4" at least.
8'4"?
Yeah, he's up there.
Wow.
It could have been in Big Fish.
Yeah, Big Fish. The one of the few, the Tim Burton movies. Tim Burton starts off, all the movies are good, then just one day, hey, they're all bad. All of them are bad.
Hit the wall.
Then there was like Big Fish. It's like, man, that was all right. Dropped in the middle of this run of that Planet of the Apes movie he did. Remember that? It was like everywhere. And then now people just outright pretended that it didn't happen. They've like, they jumped from the original five Planet of the Apes movies to the new ones. And they just overlook the one where Paul Giamatti was an ape. And, who else were apes in that one? So many cool apes in that movie.
Paul Giamatti was a smart ape, right? He was an orangutan.
Yeah. We gotta figure out what's going on here with the population.
And that was probably in the contract that he was only going to play an orangutan.
Yeah. And I just want to say this about these Planet of the Apes movies. Yeah, okay, it's a Planet of the Apes. But if we're being completely accurate, it should be called Planet of the Apes and Horses.
Yeah.
We got plenty of horses on that planet, too. I see these apes getting around. I see these apes riding motorcycles around.
The horses should at least be speaking, right?
Well, the horse, I hope in the future the horses do to the apes what the apes did to the humans.
That'll be good.
I hope there's a movie called Planet of the Horses, and it's the horses decide to stage an uprising against the apes on the Planet of the Apes. Then they gotta lure humans back. Suddenly like, hey, we could use a little help here. You need my help, you damn dirty ape. Charlton Heston. That's one of those guys where you're just like, is this guy would he even be considered like an okay actor? Like, you're not even sure. Cause they're just like forces. They're not even like, you don't know if they're good or not. They just are. You're just getting all of them when they do their thing. What would be the best movie he ever did, Mike?
Charlton Heston?
Yeah.
Yeah, not really a fan of that guy. I don't know.
Touch of Evil?
All right, okay, yeah. Almost forgot about
that.
I mean,
when you said that, when you see that, you're just like, you're like, is he good in it?
I don't know. Yeah.
But you're not, it's like, is he good
works,
in it?
It works in that, yeah. He was acceptable.
Yeah, and I thought he was inspired casting to play a Mexican sheriff.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And the mustache, yeah. The mustache is the whole role.
Just put a mustache on him.
God. Oh my God.
That's all they do. It's close enough. They drop a mustache on his face.
Dye his hair black.
Anybody worried that this guy is not Mexican or has no heritage or qualifications or anything for this role? It's like, put a mustache on him. That's something. It's like when they put those records out in the 60s, like these, like those, like Beatle knockoff records, or they're just like, put some feedback on it. Kids can't tell the difference. Like, this is not a real rock group doing this thing. It's just like some 47-year-old session guys are trying to figure out what the Beatles are. It's like, just put some noise, some feedback on it. Kids don't know. It's a sick world, everyone. And I'm here to tell you, it's getting sicker. It's a sick world, and it's getting sicker, to quote the late Bob Grant. Not the late, great Bob Grant. He was not great at all. He was a nightmare of a human. A truly evil, rotten person who somehow had the ability to be interesting while he broadcasted, but he used his powers for evil. We use our powers for good here. Well, at least most of us do.
Did you ever go to meet him at the TikTok?
At the Rio Diner.
The Rio Diner was the big one. Yeah, I always mix it up with the TikTok.
Yeah, no, he was at the Rio Diner.
You think he's a little warmer in that setting, or He'd probably be difficult there.
I just go up to him. Just go up to him. Yeah, I slap that head of his like Benny Hill. If I were to catch him at the counter at the Rio Diner, I'd give him an old Benny Hill.
See if you get any action from the toupee.
Toupee? I don't think he had a toupee, Mike.
When it was a weave? It was something.
No, I think it was a squirrel was laying on his head. I think it was Gary the squirrel.
It was
Gary
shifting.
The squirrel getting a free ride on that noggin. So anyway, everybody, it's the best show. We're back. We're going to have a good night. Fun time. The topic is build a commercial. We're going to build commercials. We've done the build a movie game. Now build commercials. Any product, we will build a commercial for. How about that? We'll figure out what the ideal commercial would be for that product. Yeah, call up 201-332-3484, and we'll get to, we'll have a lot of fun with that, and we'll have fun with other things, too, because we have fun on The Best Show. It's a fun place. Best Show's fun, right? Fun? Yes? Anyone? Fun? We having fun? Let's have fun. I'm going to play the theme, and then we'll have some fun, and then we'll get the show started. How's that sound? Sound like a fun plan? Let's do it. Play. Why won't you play? Show. What's up, everybody? My name's Tom. How are you? Fun show, fun days, fun nights. How's everybody doing out there tonight in Best Show Land on this Tuesday as March becomes April and the year rolls on by, right? Year just rolls on by. How about that? Look at that, how the year just rolls on by, sailing on down the highway, right? Just like, what's his face said? Who said that? Rolling down the gosh darn highway. Brian Wilson. Honking down the gosh darn highway. That's embarrassing to be an adult in a band called the Beach Boys. It's the most embarrassing thing I ever heard in my life. Well, maybe not. Who'd we just hear from? We heard Roxy Music, because that's what I listen to these days. Roxy Music. Heard editions of you. from their amazing second album, For Your Pleasure. You love it. I say this, when it comes to Roxy music, love it or leave it. If you don't love it, leave it. Oh, love me, leave me, don't do it at all. Anybody who prefers that rock, that Brian Ferry, as soon as Brian Ferry stopped going, that's when the thing was over. As soon as he started smoothing it out, there's something better about him being like, he was like Tiny Tim. He was singing like Tiny Tim. Imagine if a space Fonzie came down and sang like Tiny Tim, but could play piano. That's what you got with Brian Ferry. And as soon as he, some of those records, I can literally hear the sailor suit he's wearing, on them. I can literally hear the sailor suit. But you know, for some people, that's what they want to hear. They want to hear the smooth sound, not me, man. Brian Ferry is one of those people, maybe not the, he's, Roxy Music succeed in, because of him, obviously, but he's hardly the sole reason why. It's a collection of people that add up to this crazy thing. And then he, when they start falling away and he starts getting smooth, making music for like high-end hotel rock. You're waiting to check in at an upscale hotel. You hear, slave to love, la 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 la. Don't stop the dance. I'm like, yeah. I like when he was a weird Tiny Tim type. So how's everybody doing tonight? The number 201-332-3484. Hold on one second. I'll be right back. Jason, can you talk for a second?
Sure, Mike, Tom. How you doing, Mike? You doing good? What have you watched that you have hated lately, Mike? Instead of just coming out and asking, what have you liked lately? I'm just like, what have you hated the most recently?
I watched The Bells of St. Mary the other day because I saw a movie by the same director. I'm blanking on the title of the movie. Let me get that first, which I liked a lot. It was Leo McCarey is the director. And he did a movie, Make Way for Tomorrow, which is about getting old and how families deal with older parents.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a striking theme right now with me.
Yeah.
So it was a really good movie. And then I'm like, okay, maybe I should catch up with some of his earlier movies. You know, he had some big hits.
Mm-hmm.
I saw, I had seen An Affair to Remember before, but I never saw The Bells of St. Mary, you know.
What year was Bells of St. Mary?
What is it?
88?
It's 1945, 45. So right after the war.
My dad liked that movie a lot.
Was he Catholic?
He was not, but he liked it.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
He respected the religion.
Yeah, and it's sort of a shame Ingrid Bergman is in a nun's outfit for the whole movie. So all you see is her face, which is a great face. So
right.
She's got a lot to work with just with her face. But I don't know. I was not
not a fan. You know,
of course, I got to work some Bing Crosby numbers into the thing. And
oh, so he sang? There were a couple. Did he sing a song called The Bells of St. Mary?
I mean, as a pastor, he kind of just walks around and sort of eavesdrops on, you know, on what the nuns are up to.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not very aggressive in his duties.
So he does eavesdrop on nuns?
Yeah. I mean, it's at a school. Okay. And so they're teaching and they're doing their thing. But he's just sort of wandering around and, you know, just sort of checking in. You never see him really doing anything except singing every once in a while.
So he doesn't, like, do a mass?
What is this? What is this?
Welcome back, Tom. I immediately asked Mike if there were any movies that he truly hated lately. And he started in on The Bells of St. Mary.
Yeah.
Sure. What is that, a Bing Crosby movie?
Yeah.
You're mad at a Bing Crosby movie. There you go.
It's just kind of boring, you know?
90 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Was that one of those Father Flanagan movies?
I don't know what his name was. I've already forgotten.
Was it a series? Did he do other Father Flanagan? Did the character live on in like 8 films?
Well, I'm looking at it now. I think this may have been the follow-up to Going My Way, which I was going to check out. But
deserved
I don't know
if I'm
gonna sequel. Check it out now. I think it's the same character. Yeah, he's got the. Okay. He's a priest who wears a straw hat, mm-hmm. which, you know, I mean, I don't know what the straw hat was all about that he had to have with that on. I don't think I've ever seen a priest wearing a hat, but except those little hats that they wear once in a while.
Little hats? Or like the guy on Oz?
You know, those silk, what those silk, what do you call them? I think Thelonious Monk would wear one too.
Oh, like that.
What is that called? That type of hat? It's sort of a
Pope hat?
that's the tall one.
That's
this
the
is
tall
just
one.
Like a skull cap. I don't mm-hmm. know. Is that what you call it? A skull cap?
Maybe like a skull cap. Yeah. He so he's wearing a skull cap in the movie.
No. He wears the
literally Bing, talking Bing. About a Bing Crosby movie.
He's wearing a straw hat. A boater? I don't know. Is that what you call it? I don't
yeah,
know.
Like one of those straw hats where it's just like
he's wearing like this
as
hat.
As if he could be rowing out on the lake.
Yeah.
Or the mighty Mississippi. Woo.
I guess so.
Huh.
Now that guy, yeah, I got no time for those things. Those movies are all bad. They're terrible.
Yeah.
But back then it would be just like people, they just all acted in movies. It's the craziest thing where you just be like, got a singing career, and then you're just also like in multiple movies. Cause back then you just had to keep making stuff all the time. Like it's not like now where it's like, oh, you make an album every 2 years, every 3 years, or you do a movie every other year. Back then it's just like, yeah, Bing Crosby's going to do 9 movies this year and he's going to play 10 shows a night at some theater in New York. I don't know how they put everybody through the I don't know how they were holding up back then. How'd they hold up?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm doing 2 podcasts. I'm ready to go in the hospital.
Yeah, this is like your Elvis films.
I was telling Jason, I mean, in The Bells of St. Mary, I mean, he's not really doing a whole lot in that movie. He sort of eavesdrops on the nuns as they're teaching. And
so he's being a creep.
He just sort of floats around in his church. You never see him really doing anything of real substance.
So what's
then,
wrong,
know,
what's wrong, my boy?
He's trying to help this young girl, you know, who's coming from a family trouble. That's having some, yeah, trouble, the troubled 14-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's his main tasks in the movie. And then, you know, whenever there's a piano around, he gets there and he gathers the people around and he sings mm-hmm. a song, which yeah. is what they wanted, right?
Yeah, that's what everybody would want is a priest to break out in song. What a fun time that would be. Have to just look. What did I do? Catechism? Is that what I did?
Yeah, me too.
I couldn't, and that's a thing that like parents that don't put their kid in like a churchy school, like.
Yeah, if you went to public school, like, yeah. you know, you got your religious education.
Once a week, I had to go take some class, supposed to be some religious teaching class at the church, and you'd go there. Mm-hmm. I never saw more checked out. It was maybe the most checked out experience of my entire life. Uh-huh. I didn't want to be there. Uh-huh. They didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to be there. and you go there and you just hope that it was disorganized enough that they just like left you alone in a classroom for a while. Then eventually like, all right, we're done. Like a priest talks for a half hour.
You had to go until you made the sixth grade and you were confirmed, right? Yeah. Did you make it to confirmation?
Oh, did I ever?
Do you still remember the name you took? You have to take another name, right?
Herbie.
Okay.
Nobody, the priest was not into it. Right? No. I was just like.
But here's the thing. Once people made it to confirmation, you know, most families, that was the end, you know? I hung into catechism until I was a sophomore in high school, if you could believe that. And that was really rough.
So you hung in there and you'd just go and you'd have to like, but it just felt so disinterested. It felt like nobody was interested in it. It just was like.
And, you know, in the early years you have nuns, you know, and I can't really say I had a memorable nun. Like none of those catechism teachers stand out as like being particularly interesting. You know, you they were just giving you the stuff.
The
commandments, you know, you had to learn that stuff, and venial sins versus mortal sins, and you know, confession, that whole routine.
Yeah.
Confession's a trip. How many times have you gone to confession in your lifetime?
Oh, I've gone, not in a long time, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you just go there and it's just like, I've seen more movies with confessions than I've gone to confession.
Yeah.
Forgive me. It's always like, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. This is like Liam Neeson. It has been many years since my last confession.
Yeah. You had to tell him how long.
Yeah.
And then I would just, you know, rattle it out like a laundry list. Mm-hmm. You know, I broke the second commandment, you know, not the fifth. The fifth is murder. Mm. I never dropped that one.
Yeah. No, it should have. What do you think would happen? They should do like a thing where you say the priest is just like, and then also right now, we're breaking in your car while you're in the booth, and to scare him, like he runs out. You go, I gotcha. Right? He just goes, confession pranks.
Mm-hmm. Pranks. There you go. That's a show. We could sell back
confession
on.
Pranks.
Yeah, yeah.
We could sell a show, confession pranks, where you just like priests prank the confessing people prank the priest once in a while.
The wine gets swapped out.
What's that?
The wine gets swapped out in the wafers. Wine.
Sure. Well, that's not as much a confession thing.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, it's part of it. If you need a side game, that's all I'm saying.
Well, look, now you're just doing mass prank. You want to do a mass prank show with that. But what about this? If the priest had a thing where he put like a little bowl of water that could like fill up, and it makes it look like his side of the thing is filling up with water. If you like look through. And he's like, like he pretends he's like, whoa, it's filling up with water in here. Get me out. Like if you look through the vented thing, if you just had something that just was like, if you just had, you know what I mean? Like you just put like a jar up against it. You start filling up with water and then it looks like the entire booth is filling up. Help. It's filling up with water.
Yeah.
And you go out to help and he goes, confession pranks. I think we could sell this, and it would be wholesome too.
Yeah.
This is not an outrageous show.
I mean, Sal Volcano could sell this with us.
We could pitch this. This could be part of the HBO Max deal.
Yeah,
I think we walk this one over to Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro. I was just gonna say, you know, why limit it to? The Catholics, you know, you get all the religions in there, you know, and sort of a general pranking of the holy. It's got to get holy something in there.
Holy pranks. The show's just called Holy Pranks, and it's not. We're not mocking the religion.
It's just the lighter side.
It's the lighter side. Thank you. It's the lighter side. I just try to have fun with the stuff.
Yeah, the rituals.
Yeah.
You could do like one of those candles that keeps lighting.
Votive candle won't blow out.
Yeah. Lots of candle gigs, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of votive candles that won't, right? That won't blow out.
And, candle gags.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Let's pitch it around.
I don't know how we got here. You went away, and then from Bells of St. Mary to Holy Franks.
And you turn around suddenly.
Boom.
Turn around suddenly. It's, we're doing a gosh darn, we're pitching a religious prank show. So anything. Man, I forgot how to talk. Been away 1 week. Lost control of the English language. We got a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk all about, building a commercial. We've done it with movies before. You build a movie, you throw out a topic, and then you throw out a genre and some stars.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
And then we would write a movie based on it. Now we're going to do it with commercials. And we can, you throw out a product name and maybe the type of commercial you want to see, and we'll write it for you. We'll build it together. It'll be a fun thing. It'll be like when you're at Home Depot and they say, let's build stuff together. Or is that Lowe's? I don't know. Either one of those places. You know what those places should be called? Public bathroom. Like if you see Home Depot, that's just called bathroom.
That's what you go there for? You usually.
No, I'm saying if you were on the road. I'm saying if you were on the road.
Okay.
If you were on the road and you had to, you needed a turlet. You know, Home Depot's got one.
Yeah, but. It's a huge building.
Yeah, where is it? I can never find it.
I mean, you know, I've never been to one in that store, but I imagine it's a long walk.
I know where they are in the Lowe's.
And if it's an emergency, you want to go fast.
Okay. Well, you have better options?
I don't know. Maybe a Rite Aid?
You know, a Rite Aid?
Oh, my God, Mike.
I've never Rite Aid. You got to go get a manager to unlock a bathroom
Well,
move like a case of vitamins to get to the door?
I had an emergency and a Rite Aid and
No,
it was right there.
You had an emergency in a Rite Aid.
Yeah, it happens.
Mike, you go to Home Depot. The way to get by Home Depot, and this is how I've gotten by at Home Depot. You act like a tough guy. Act like a tough guy. You bark. You bark at the people that work there. You go, yeah, where's the bathroom? They respect that. Because you seem like a hard hat.
Then he tells you it's a mile away, and you're like...
No, he goes down there by the refrigerators. He goes, thanks. But just act like you're a tough guy who doesn't have a lot of time for chit chat. Because you go just like you, like if you go in Home Depot, you go just like, yeah, where are the screwdrivers? Just bark it at them. Because if you go in, you're just like, hi, I'm looking for a screw. Then they know you're not handy. Then you're a clown to them. You got to go in. You got to play the game at Home Depot. You got to play their game.
You got to get a neon shirt.
You got a neon.
Bright neon shirt.
Oh, you're trying to be an imposter. You're trying to pass as an employee.
Well, that would
where's
be
the
like
break room?
The easiest route, you know. You
just I started here today. Where's the break room?
I've done that at a Target or a Best Buy.
Vest. Yeah.
Hold on. You've done what?
I've worn like a, well, it was by accident. You go into a Best Buy and you're wearing like a yellow polo and people start asking you questions. And if you're wearing a yellow polo, you're a manager. So they thought I was knowledgeable, and I actually helped them pick out a fridge.
You actually sold them a refrigerator.
I sold them a refrigerator. I did. I went through all the specs with them, found a real manager, and then they got.
I could get you this for like $99. That's what you say. Yeah. This refrigerator. Yeah. You know what? I could swing a deal. Here's the offer code on it. Just go to the register. Go to the register. Tell them Gus said, give me 80% off.
Gus?
Yeah. They go. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Gus said I get 80% off on this refrigerator. Who's Gus? I don't know. That guy, he's wearing a yellow polo. It's like, oh, there he goes now, leaving with a shopping bag from our store.
Yeah.
Oh, Gus. Give me a call, please. Give me a call.
All right, let's do this.
Not a long one. Give me a good fun quickie.
Okay, fun quickie. Please. Here we go. Line three, you're on.
Best show, hi.
Hello. Tom, hey, how you doing this evening?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
Tom, this is Nate from Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Nate from Pottstown. Nate. What's up, Nate?
Tom, Nate? I gotta say first.
N-A-T-E, yeah. Nate.
Yes, with a capital N.
Well, I assumed it was a capital N.
I would hope so. Yeah, I'm a long time first time.
And you're from Pottstown, PA?
You got it.
You know how I know? Because you went, yeah, I'd hope so.
Well, I mean, I guess that sounds a little bit like one of your familiar callers. I thought it was a little further out from that, from the center city.
Nah, it's okay. Look, I think it's a point of pride. Be proud. You got a Philly twang.
I just said center city, and I think that, it rang kind of weird in my ears after you, pointed out my Pottstown, vernacular there.
I think it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, what do you what you got for me, buddy?
So, I got a couple commercials, but I think I got to take it to task really quick. I think Mike was right on the Rite Aid bathroom thing, and nobody brought this up. I was just listening live. Rite Aid has everything you need for a bathroom related emergency, while Home Depot doesn't.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, they have anti-diarrheal, they have toilet paper, they have, hand sanitizer, I mean, all that kind of stuff, soaps, all those things you can...
Wait, what do you think's going on in a Home Depot bathroom?
I don't know.
What do you think, it's a hole in the floor?
No. No, I'm saying to purchase on your way out.
Oh, to purchase on your way. They sell that stuff at Home Depot.
Oh, really? Oh, right. Well, I mean, in the home goods section? I don't know.
They got cleaning supplies. They got all that stuff.
Well, now I'm not talking heavy duty or industrial.
No, neither am I. Neither am I.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm not talking that stuff neither.
Right, but what about, like, medication and that kind of thing? Like, what if you're in, on a road trip.
What about medication? Well, you should probably just go drive right to a doctor if this is your condition.
Oh, no. Okay. I didn't mean it to go off on this route. I just thought that was...
That's all right.
Rite Aid is more of a general store as opposed to a Home Depot, which has more of a, industrial feel to it.
My friend, I was saying you are looking for a turlet. You see Home Depot, you know there's a turlet in there. That's all. It's as far as it goes.
No, totally. No, I was just saying that maybe Rite Aid would be a better solution in case, you had.
Well, again, you might want to consult with a physician if you need to. If you need to buy toilet paper after going to the.
Oh, I've been there. Anywho.
So what do you got? You got a thing for me? What do you want to ask? A commercial?
Yeah, can we try that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So I'm thinking like Elon Musk and like Musk Industries, right?
What's a commercial for that?
He's got his Starlink satellites. He's traveling to Mars, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that reminds me of, and maybe this is because I'm crazy, is Paul Verhoeven movies.
Wait, what are we talking about here?
Well, all, like, his, like, crazy sci-fi, you know.
Wait, no, we're trying to, what commercial are we trying to build here?
I don't know. Something crazy. So I'm talking to
hang up on this guy. This guy's, God bless him. Nice enough guy.
I did laugh pretty hard when he said, very sure of himself, Paul Verhoeven movies.
I like, yeah.
I saw where he was going with that.
I don't know. I'm not sure where he was coming from. God bless him. God bless. First of all, he might need to just consult with a physician in general. If he needs to buy bathroom supplies after going to the using the facilities, that might be an issue. There might be a larger concern there. But, you know, God bless him. So, let's, we got, which lines we got?
We've got 1, 2, and 5.
Give me 5.
5, here it is.
Best show, hi.
What up, douche? Plotron 5000 in his house.
Oh my goodness, it's Aaron. Yeah. This is Darren from work. Over, you know, work with this guy at Consolidated Cardboard for a long time. I've worked with him.
Like a lifetime, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What's up, Darren?
Well, it's funny. First, I want to say, I've toyed with other intros over the last few years, but I realize it's like, I don't know, it's like New Coke and Classic Coke. It's, why mess with perfection? Everybody would only end up demanding the original. And from what I'm hearing, they had been demanding the original greeting. So there it is.
Who's been demanding that original greeting?
I've heard there's been talk about it.
The people are talking about it?
I've heard people are talking about it, and there's been some debate about it also.
Mm-hmm. About whether when you call the best show...
Right.
Which of your stagey intros you do is really a point of conversation?
Oh, from what I've heard, yeah, it's big talk among around the water coolers of Newbridge. Look, mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard. I've heard anyway. You know.
Sure. Sure.
Hey, I do have something for the topic. If that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I think would be a good commercial?
What's that?
If those Joe Namath Medicare ones were even longer, and they also incorporated the Cartoon General from those General Insurance commercials?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know? Like, it would be so like... Well,
what are they advertising? Both products?
I think both, yeah. Maybe something new, like, I don't know, like a new variation of toilet golf or basketball, some other sport, some other toilet sport.
Sure. So if they had, what if it's like toilet football, because it's Joe Namath?
It's a good idea.
And then they're just like, hey, it's Broadway Joe Namath here, and I want to tell you all about toilet football. And a friend of mine is here to also talk about it. That's the General. Well, hey, Joe. Is that what he would be like? Hey, Joe. Well,
I think it'd be like, hey, Joe. Hey, oh, I had the voice earlier, but hey,
you had the, I lost, you had the General's I lost, voice.
I did. I lost it. It's good. I don't know. I'm feeling like Skip Bittman when he was on the Sammy Maudlin show. Remember that? Rommel, you magnificent bastard. I don't have it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go any further with this because I really just don't have the voice. Is that okay?
Sure. No, that's fine, Darren. I get it. It happens.
Okay.
You don't get the voice, you know, and then it just nothing. It doesn't work.
It's like, why press on, right?
Yeah. Well, if you get it back at any point during our conversation, feel free to go back into the General.
sounds like a plan. Hey, I don't know if you know about this, but, you know Carolyn Accounts Unmentionable at work?
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of nice dates.
Really?
We did, yeah. Yeah, nothing really came of it. You know, I guess I knew she wasn't the one when she revealed that she didn't know that the Village People released a new romantic album in 1981. I mean, it's like a relationship needs to be built on a solid foundation, and that just sure isn't one.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just the idea, how could you ever go forward with any sort of relationship if she's not aware that the Village People tried to rebrand after the initial concept dried up as a new romantic band?
I know. And to top it off, she'd never even heard of the single from that record, which, of course, was Sex on the Phone. So, but, you know,
what's that?
Truthfully, she ended it with me because I told her she gave me hardening of one specific artery, which I know in retrospect was a very dumb thing to say, and I'm seriously embarrassed that I said it, but I thought we were vibing.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a pretty dumb thing to say. That's kind of, that's pretty outrageous and offensive.
I know. I know that now. I knew it then too, but I just thought, yeah, I don't know.
You learned it. Hey, you knew it now, but then you also knew it then.
Well, you know how like you say something and it sounds terrible as you're saying it?
Mm-hmm.
It was like that, but to be honest, it was terrible even like 5 seconds before I said it. I just, you know, sometimes you just got to roll the dice.
Like, you know, you're playing with fire, but you kind of couldn't help it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's almost like, I know you probably do this thing that we all did it as kids, but I still do it too. You know, the whole finger in the light socket thing. Sometimes I need to do it.
I don't do that. You do that as an adult?
Oh, no, I don't do it. No.
No. Oh, yeah, sounds like you don't. Yeah.
No, I sure don't.
Yeah. Hey, when's the last time you did that, Darren? Be honest.
What time is it? It's, all right. It was, you know, it was a pretty long time ago. It was 4:30.
So today you've done it.
Oh, yeah.
Will you get a little rush from it?
No, it's full on pain, but I don't know. Something I crave it. It's very odd. Mm-hmm. I know it's a part of my life I don't want to talk about with you.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that okay? Just because
yeah, fair enough.
We go way back, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
Look, here's why I'm calling. Here's why I'm calling. All right.
Okay.
As you know, Mayor Hindenburg is way gung-ho on fully opening up Newbridge on April 30th.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Basically, it's to inject much-needed cash into Newbridge after he gambled away everything in the city's coffers on that lawnmower pulling contest he had with the mayor of Dankbridge. Did you see that?
It was embarrassing.
It was totally embarrassing. And I don't know why he even made the bet, because the Dankbridge mayor, his arms were the size of Tommy Lee's bass drum in the Don't Go Away Mad, Just Go Away video. It's a little something for our pal Rob and the pop metal kids out there.
No, I think it's cool that I think it's weird that you're playing to different people with whatever. It's a big bass drum, huh?
It's a big one. Like 28 at the smallest, yeah. Anyhow, one of the big ideas Mayor Hindenburg had to announce Newbridge's grand reopening is a big comedy show at the Newbridge Comedy Arena, and it's going to take place that day, April 30th.
Yeah.
Crazy. And, you know, I don't really agree with the mayor's decree that it's going to be illegal to wear masks at the show, and I certainly don't agree with all those It's Time banners that he's plastering all over the city, but I am hearing that Newbridge is at 97% in terms of vaccination, of course, that's after he threw in a year's supply of Fun Dip with every shot. And Tom, between you and me,
yeah.
I heard that the Fun Dip had been sitting in a storage container down at Port Newbridge since, I don't know, like 1999. So it's possible there's going to be a whole new outbreak of something.
Yeah, maybe like some sort of Fun Dip related virus.
Maybe Fun Dip 21.
I can only pray that we don't, that there's no Fun Dip related pandemic.
I hope. Let us pray. Not right now, but at some point, you know.
Sure. Yeah. No, let us pray.
But here's the thing. So many comics are dying to be in front of a live audience at this point that
yeah.
they're all agreeing to do it. So this thing is looking like it's going to be the greatest assemblage of comedians on one stage since, I don't know, Comic Relief's 1, 4, 6, and 18. It's going to be a huge deal.
Sure. Well, who's performing at this huge event?
Well, they haven't announced it publicly yet, but you know, as you know, my father, Daryl Ploppet,
yeah.
he designed the comedy arena. And so he's always CC'd on all the pre-announced concert scuttlebutt. And that's why we always get such great seats whenever Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Zappa Play Zappa, and Chickenfoot come to town, right?
Yeah, all the big acts, the biggest acts, I guess.
Yeah, all our faves. So the roster hasn't been finalized yet, but I mean, this is turning out to be a who's that of top shelf comedy. So far, it's Jim Gaffigan, Sarah Silverman, Chris Rock, John Mulaney, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, Bob and David, Stephen Wright, Andy Kindler, Patton Oswalt, Todd Barry, Amy Schumer, Tim and Eric, Maya Rudolph, and at least, I don't know, 7 or 8 more. It's going to be crazy.
Wow. Whoa. That is a huge lineup. I can't believe how solid that bill is.
I know. And the coolest thing?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
They want to spotlight the local Newbridge comedy scene. So they're going to pick one local act to perform during this thing.
Oh my God. That's really cool. That's seriously cool. I thought you were going to say something ridiculous, but that's pretty amazing. Because especially when you consider how many great Newbridge local comedians there are, you know. Is there any idea who they're going to pick?
Yeah.
Who?
Us.
What do you mean us?
The Yuckinghams.
No. You mean the improv troupe that we formed literally 1 month before the pandemic started, and we haven't even done a single rehearsal or even conversation about comedy since the pandemic started?
Well, yeah, but come on. We were really good at that one rehearsal we did have last January.
Okay. No, that was fun, but it was the beginning of something. And also, I did not sign off on that name, the Yuckinghams.
Nobody
refers to laughs as yucks anymore. That's such a hacky concept. And even less people are going to know that it's a play on the name of the band from the 60s, the Buckinghams.
I don't know. I think a lot of people know about them. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of talk lately about their hit Kind of a Drag. And there's been some debate over whether that or Hey Baby, They're Playing Our Song is their best song.
Where is all this debate going on?
I don't know. I'm just hearing about it. I'm on the street a lot. I hear things. Don't you? Mm-hmm.
Not like that. I'm maybe out on the street a little less than you are.
I think you're right. I'm like the Iggy of Newbridge. I still got my ear to the street.
You're the who of Newbridge?
Iggy Pop.
Iggy, Yeah, okay. You're the Iggy of Newbridge because you have your ear. Okay.
Well, all right, man.
Say, all right, man, I got my ear to the street.
All right, man, I got my ear to the street. It's me, Iggy.
Is he there with Iggy? Put Tom back on.
No, that was me doing that. You know that was me.
No, it wasn't.
Stop flattering me like that.
I thought it was Iggy.
You know it wasn't Iggy. It doesn't make sense that Iggy would be here with me.
I don't know. I was going to test you and say, hey, Iggy, what's your real name?
Well, it's Jim Osterberg.
See, I got you. It's Jim Wentworth.
Wentworth?
Oh, well, you're right. I looked it up. Nah, yeah, you're right. Sorry about that.
Well, that's all right.
Well, that was me again. It's me. It's me the whole time, Darren.
Okay. Oh, well, let's put that in our quiver for the show, okay? Because you're good at that.
We're not. That's not. It's not happening, Darren. Well, look, it's not going to. Okay. What?
Well, look. There might be more seasoned comedy groups in Newbridge. Like I don't know, the Creamy Nougat Players, Juicebox Killers, Frankenstein's Mobster, the Craptastic Four, the Grateful Dorks, Young Gifted and Hack, Teenage Fun Club, the Sal Lads, Lactose Intolerance, Half Animal Part Party Machine, Diminishing Republic, 6 Feet and Roy, Big Brother and the Whole Dang Company, and the Grandnieces of Soul. But, you know, my old man pulled some strings, and he told Mayor Hindenburg that if his baby boy's comedy troupe doesn't get on that bill, he's going to activate the clusters of weapons-grade stink bombs he secretly built into the arena for an occasion just like this.
No. This is... Darren, this is bad. This is my worst nightmare, actually. I gotta say, you're first of all, the Yuckinghams, the way we got on the bill, terrible. Terrible. And the threats, the underlying threats with it, worse. That's worse. That's not better. That's worse. But the part for me that's the worst is that mm-hmm. we're novices at best when it comes to improv, Darren, and we're so far from being ready to perform anywhere other than maybe like an open mic night at a comedy club. We're probably not even ready for that, let alone a venue that holds what, 12,000 people? No, and it's gonna just be bad because all these people in Newbridge are gonna be mad at me. Because we took a spot that belongs to somebody more accomplished and more deserving of that, like a comedy troupe that belongs in that slot. Like, I mean, Funkin' Go Nuts, Toilet Trouble, Floptimus Slime, Slam Dance Daddies, Drunk Minions, Dear Diarrhea, Mission Improvable, Yucks and Giggles, Gritty as My Mom, We Bought a Zune, Fart in a Bottle, Heinous Diarrhea, Minions with Diarrhea. Any of those troops deserve that slot more than we do.
Well, look, they are all good. I give them that. But we deserve this just as much as any of the acts because we're older and cooler than they are, quite frankly.
We're older and cooler than them.
I think so, yeah. Oh, and how cool is this? My daddy made sure to insist that the Yuckinghams get a great slot. Not one of those things at the start of the show when all the morons are finding their seats and buying their giant tubs of popcorn. Check this out. There's going to be this incredible segment where a hologram of Richard Pryor does a really cool, intense bit with Dave Chappelle. And they wanted to put us on between that and Chris Elliott and his dad, Bob's hologram, doing a really funny but also a really touching bit. But I said, no way, man. The Yuckinghams aren't nostalgia. The Yuckinghams are the future. So now we're between Eddie Murphy doing his first stand-up set in decades and this SCTV Q&A moderated by Scorsese. Should be really cool.
Oh, that's way too much. That's way too much pressure for what will be our first public appearance. No, we can't.
Come on.
Darren.
Come on. This could be our biggest break ever. Any one of these titans of comedy has the power to open an S-load of doors for us. And look, I know you're feeling some pressure about this, but I've got it just as hard as you. I mean, even though I'm the group's silent prop comic, I have just as much pressure on me. I mean, what if I drop one of my rubber chickens or my sproing noise maker doesn't work? It could be a disaster.
Well, that would be a disaster. You're not wrong. That would be bad if you dropped your sproing noisemaker.
I hit the button and there's no bang.
Cause it always, it gives the jokes that little extra like oomph when that noise happens.
But that's something that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can't picture that we're going to be doing improv in front of Martin Scorsese and the cast of SCTV.
Well, we're doing it and we're going to be great. And I did want to tell you this. I can't get my shot until a few days before the show because of all of my illegal trash burning citations. So we're going to have to rehearse over the phone, but don't worry because we've got a lot of great ideas. I've got this thing about airplane food. Mike's going to do his If Trump Was in the Avengers thing. And Rex has some things about cancel culture he wants to get off his chest, so that could be really cool. And since you have showbiz juice, I thought you might do a short roast of some of the other comedians on the bill. Turns out Jeff Ross can't be there because of his illegal trash-burning citations. So that scene is wide open for you. And frankly, I'd love to see you bust on, I don't know, Eddie Murphy, Amy Schumer, Martin Short. That could be really funny.
Oh, Darren, this is a dangerous scenario. This just makes my stomach is doing backflips imagining this.
Well, have you tried Tums? Remember they had that great jingle? Tums for Tums, tum tum.
I do remember that one, and that was actually what got me to start taking Tums, was that.
And if I'm correct, the original Tom in the commercial back in the 60s was Tom Seaver, but then in the 70s it was Tom Scholes from Boston, right?
It was. Originally it was Tom Seaver, major league pitcher Tom Seaver, the late great Tom Seaver, and then was replaced by Boston, the guitarist for the band Boston.
And then
Tom
who was
Scholes.
It in the 80s? I can't remember.
Tom Selleck.
It was Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
And then in the 90s? Who was in the 90s?
Hanks.
It was Tom Hanks. How about the aughts? I can't remember that one either.
The aughts was it was Tom York.
It was Tom York, okay.
Yeah.
It's clear that it's you now, though.
Well, look, I waited my turn. Now I'm the Tom.
It's pretty cool.
When it comes to...
I think...
It's my tum-tum.
I love it. You know what you're going to love?
What's that?
The fact that Nikki Dolenz of the Monkees is going to be at this show also to auction off some monkey stuff for charity. And I think it would be really fun if part of our set, you told the U.S. Open story about him.
Oh. First of all, this is
I think people would love it. And he seems to have a great sense of humor about himself, right?
Yeah, no, he seems like he would really eat it up to have somebody he doesn't know start coming out and telling a story that makes him look arrogant and imperious. He would love that. This is Darren. This is a mistake. This is a mistake.
No.
This is a Ploppleton special.
Look, I know you think we're not ready, but we certainly are. And like you're a good comedy guy, and that's why I think you're going to be excited about what I'm about to tell you.
No, you have more to tell me. That scares me more.
This is the best part yet. So there's going to be this big all-star improv jam at the climax of the concert.
But you used it a second time. I like how you. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So a few of the big names that I mentioned earlier are going to participate in this improv thing. Plus a bunch
at,
of
like at what point? At what point in the evening?
This is the grand finale. It's like everyone's done their stuff. Everyone's drained. Okay. But wait, there's more. There's a final layer of this thing. It's going to be these well-established, you know, big names, and then also big names. But these are improv masters. Guys like Ian Roberts, Matt Besser, Brian Husky, Paul Scheer, John Ross Bowie, they're all going to be part of this, too. It's like the titans of improv. And I volunteered you to represent the Yuckinghams.
Please, no. Please, no.
So check it out. I've been doing some research on improv, and I'm pretty sure I've got this nailed. Okay. So basically, there's this thing called the tap out, and basically what this is when someone in the improv group, they're either, like, they can't think of an idea or they're stuck on something.
Okay.
Another improver rescues them by tapping them on the shoulder and then kind of sliding in and, you know, and making whatever, trying to take the concept to a different level. Mm-hmm. And so, you know how they say, when you're a new inmate in prison, you should go up to the biggest inmate and punch him in the face to earn the respect of him and the other inmates?
Yeah, that's what they say. With the I don't know how true it is, but go ahead. I want to see where this is going.
Well, people are talking about that. There's a little debate about it, but I think we all agree that it does happen.
Okay.
All right, so I think it would be a really cool show of confidence and power if you tapped out Tina Fey or Ian Roberts like 10 seconds after they start doing their part of the improv. Talk about a vulgar display of comedy cojones, right?
That is a big mistake. That is maybe the biggest mistake, that I would go up to these legends, these masters of comedy and improv, and I tap them out as like a show of power.
Yeah, and I think also the tap should be preceded by a, like, I don't know, we'd wig you with one of these things where it goes, and then you tap.
Oh, okay. So just in case it wasn't humiliating enough, I should also do a buzzer sound.
Yeah, and then you do your thing, you know, which will be great, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. So, all right, and also there's this thing called Yes End, and basically that is you're supposed to go along with the concept another improviser is laying down. You don't refute it. You basically go along and acknowledge that concept as what's true, and then you add to that concept, and I think it would be a flagrant showing of improv intimidation if you went the other way with it. Say, like, I don't know, Brian Husky begins his portion by saying, you know, I went on a cruise in the spring of 2018 and I saw Tim Burton take a number two in the pool. You bust in and say, that's weird because I know for a fact you were shooting Veep in the spring of 2018. So I don't know what's true and what's not true. I think Brian and all the other improv guys would defer to you at that point and for the rest of the night, like, who is this god?
Or they would look at me that I don't know the absolute basics of improv, which I don't, mind you. I've seen a bunch of improv. I'm new to doing it. They would not look at me as a god. They would run me off the stage. That's bad, Darren.
Well, I don't know. I think it could be great. I think you should really do it because, you know. Oh no. Uh-oh.
What?
Looks like the cat's out of the bag. Someone must have leaked the news about the show. Cause it's, oh my god, yeah, it's all over fucking social media. This thing's gonna be bigger than I expected. I mean, oh no. Oh, they're just listing it as you solo, not the Yuckinghams. Well, you know, I guess that makes sense because you are the biggest FT in the group, and that's probably why your phone is blowing up right now with people asking about this whole thing, right?
Oh, Darren, my phone. Look at. I mean, these people, like Ira Kaplan. Oh my God! I just look into people writing me. Coco from the Etz, Tony Shalhoub.
Oh my! Really?
Jake Fugelnest. Is this a mistake? Is there a set? Is there another Tom Sharpling, or is this you? You're sure about this? Have you ever been on a stage? This is. What did you get me into, Darren?
Oh my God!
No,
this is so great. It's really heating up too. Partly because I've been sending out provocative tweets from the Yuckinghams Twitter account this whole time.
Okay. Great. Provocative tweets. Like what?
Hang on. Let me find one of the better ones. Hey, at David Chappelle, at Jim Gaffigan, at Sarah Silverman, etc. There's a new comedy sheriff in town, and his name is at Tom Sharpling and the Yuckinghams. Hope you don't suck that night, because we're sure not going to. Don't pout when we send you home with your tail between your legs. And there are other tweets that aren't that even-keeled.
I don't know why you would do that.
Oh, you know what else is cool? We've been getting a ton of new followers after Rolling Stone picked up on this a minute or so ago. This is
Rolling
the
Stone.
Coolest thing ever. Oh, yeah.
My favorite magazine ever.
Right, I know. Isn't that cool, though, that you're in it now? They know about you.
This is not cool. This is a disaster in the making. And I think I feel like it's now it's increasingly falling on my shoulders.
Oh, no, Tom. It looks like David Cross, Tim and Eric, and Patton are really mad at you. I thought you guys were all friends, but after reading their responses and their DMs, I'm not so sure. Ooh-bee.
Yeah, I would not be happy with me either.
Oh.
I would not be happy either.
Well, look, anyhow, this thing is going to be a blast. I got to run. My ex, Sheila, is making fajitas, and she said I can come over and eat with her and her new family if I bring some caronas. All right, so adios, muchachos, and I'll see you at the phone rehearsal. We're going to be so good, all right?
This is Darren. No, please get me out of this.
Okay, we'll do a Zoom. All right, bye-bye.
Darren, no. This is not good. Not good. Not good. What am I going to do? What are we gonna do now? We got any calls?
We do.
Full phones?
No.
No?
No. We got one open.
No. Well, one open's fine. We'll fill it up.
Okay.
201-332-3484. And also, let me just say this. For the last couple of years, I've been working on this book, It's called It Never Ends. And lo and behold, it comes out in July. Finally, the day has come. The announcement has come. The book's coming out in July, July 6th. It's coming out. Get ready. It's called It Never Ends. I'm telling you this. It's the best thing I ever did in my life. Best thing I ever wrote by a mile. And you can check it out. Go to tomwroteabook.com. Now, this is what I'm saying, everybody. You pre-order this thing. You pre-order it. It's going to be, we'll have something exciting for people to pre-order the book, but you got to pre-order it. That's what you got to do. Go pre-order it. Go to tomwroteabook.com. It's got links to all the places you can order books, big and small. Not just big places, not just small places. You go, you order it, and then you'll get the book. You get the book. And I'll say this. Dudio, will you read this book?
I can't wait to read it, honestly.
Okay, well, you're going to get an advance. I'm going to send you a secret copy of the book.
Oh my God. Yeah. I cannot wait. I'm you've worked so hard on this, man. I cannot wait.
Mike?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you'll read it?
PDF.
I'll shoot you a copy. I can get you a copy.
Thank you, man.
I'm telling you, you better not. Look, if you don't like it, that's fine. There's no way you don't like it. I'm telling you. I went all out on this thing. All out. And you want to hear some of the advanced reviews of this thing?
Yeah.
This is what John Oliver said. You know who John Oliver is?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
This book is unflinchingly honest, deeply affecting, and just relentlessly funny. If you read it and don't like it, it's 100% your fault. Not my words, the words of John Oliver. The reviews are pouring in. I'm going to get you guys copies of this thing. Should I send one to Pat?
He might not want to read.
That's fair. Sorry, Pat.
No, I know he's dying to read. So.
No. Well, I'll get you guys. You guys got to see it.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
And we're going to do all sorts of events and things. We're doing everything we can as the build up to this book coming out. Surprises and things and whatnot. And if you want to talk to me about, if you run a newsletter for a senior center, I'll talk to you about the book. I'll talk to literally any ink I can get for this thing. I got to get down and dirty with this thing. I ain't got the muscle. I ain't got the muscle of Obama. He puts a book out. Everybody knows it's coming. I'm listening to this Oliver Stone audiobook, the audiobook for his book. And by the way, people who want to know whether it's going to be an audiobook. Yeah, there will be. There'll be an audiobook. Am I going to read it? Hey, you'll find out. What do you think? All I'll do is flap my gums. You think I'm going to sit out the audiobook? All I do is flap my gums.
Have you already recorded it?
No, I have not. This Oliver Stone audiobook is, it's like one of those 15-hour ones. And I got about 4 hours to go, and he's still making Salvador. I don't think we're going to get to present day in this book. This one clearly ends with Platoon. And then there'll be a part two, I'm assuming, at some point. It's pretty good. Do I like his movies? Yeah, not really. I got no time for those movies. I got maybe the least funny human alive. Truly no sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And like when he tries to be funny, it's always like, I figured I would make a reference to the mischief maker Puck from Shakespeare. Like everything's like always like nothing's actually funny. It's all like satiric, and it was a comment on, it's like, okay, it's a comment. It's not actually funny though. None of it's funny, but I gotta say, I like hearing the guy talk.
No funny anecdotes like Michael Caine, no brown trousers,
Oh, he's got some stuff. He's actually got some Michael Caine stuff because they did The Hand together.
Oh, okay.
The Hand, Mike, was one of Oliver Stone's first movies.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a movie where he lost his hand. He okay. was an illustrator, I believe, and then he lost his hand, and his hand's out there moving around.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to tell you this. This book I did, it never ends. It's the funniest thing you're ever going to read. You're going to laugh. I said it years ago on the show. Years ago, I said it. I predicted how this book was going to go. I knew how I was going to do this thing. You're going to laugh. It's going to be funny. And you're going to laugh. Then it will get less funny. And then you'll start crying. And then it gets funny again. But now you're cheering. You're cheering the way you cheer on Seabiscuit or Rocky or Rudy or any of those heroes. And then you're on your feet cheering as I go through each adventure.
Do you think this book will alter the course of the show?
The best show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all different after this.
Yeah. That's
supposed to be a demarcation line.
Yeah, I'm eager to read it because, you know, just from the blurbs, it sounds very deeply personal.
No.
About things you've never discussed on the show before.
Oh, I held back. Most of the stuff in this book never been on the show.
Yeah.
I held back. I've been flapping my gums for 20 years, and I still held back on multiple stories, knowing it was meant for the book. Mm-hmm. So just go to TomWroteABook.com. And just pre-order it, and you tell people there's a book coming, retweet it, pre-order it. You ain't going to go wrong with this book. I'm telling you. You ain't going to go wrong. I guarantee you'll laugh. I almost guarantee you're going to cry. But I guarantee you're going to be like, you know what? I read your book, you magnificent bastard. You did it. But except I'm not Rommel, that was aimed at. I'm not Rommel. I'm not a literal Nazi.
I'm looking forward to see if it makes me cry. There's only two books that have ever made me cry.
Yeah.
The Adventures of Augie March.
The Firm.
Not The Firm. Death in the Family. Well, that one kind of obvious, but that's a tough one to get tears. Can you think of a book that made you cry?
I dropped Infinite Jest on my foot.
That counts.
That made me cry when I dropped Infinite Jest on my foot. Stupid. And those are the kind of laughs you're going to get in this book. Mm-hmm. You want to get a preview, almost 300 pages of laughs of that caliber. Now, everybody, I don't come around here telling you to buy stuff. We do the best show. You support it through Patreon. You help us out that way if you can. But the show is free. The show is free. We ain't behind no paywall. We provide so much content, and I've done this. I ain't held out on you. I don't make you buy everything. I don't make you subscribe. You can't hear it because if you don't pay. No, the best show's been free every gosh darn week. Since the beginning of time. And look, I'm old. I got these kids working on the show, Jason and Mike and Pat. And these kids, they were just a twinkle in their daddy's eye when I started doing this radio thing. These kids. I've been at this a long time. And I'm here to say this book is the real deal. I gave it my all. As if this is the, I'm not going to start barfing these things out. This is the book. And I'm very proud of it. And you should pre-order it and help me out. Help me help you.
Is there an index?
No. No index. Got to read the thing. What are you going to scroll through for your name?
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy gets a book. This guy gets a book. First thing goes right to the back. AP Mike. AP Mike. Page 83 to 85. Page 167 to 172.
Done.
I'll tell you one thing. You guys are in it. I certainly hope you don't get, I hope you have too much hope pinned on. It's not about you guys.
That's enough right there. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What about, that's why I was going to say, you know, I look it up.
What about that one time we went to IKEA? Is that in there?
No, it's not.
Huh. Okay.
Don't worry. You're in there. It's like Prego sauce. It's in there.
Perfect.
It's in there. Another commercial.
Yeah.
So seriously though, it never ends. I'm going to try not to make this gross. I'm not going to turn this show into a gross commercial for this book all the time. We're going to do a normal show, but I'm going to mention it consistently because that's what we need to do, is to get this book. People got to know. People got to know. I worked too dang hard on it for this thing to not be known. TomWroteABook.com. So what do we got? We got any calls?
Yeah, we got some. We got some calls. Let's hit it.
Give me a good one.
Line two, you're on.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Sharon in Los Angeles. How are you doing?
Sharon? Shannon? What was your name? Sorry?
Sharon, like Sharon Stone, but in this case, Sharon Like.
Okay. How are you, Sharon?
I'm pretty good. Enjoying the show. Congrats on the new book. I can't wait to read it.
Why, thank you. I appreciate it.
And thank you.
What are you up to in Los Angeles?
Right now listening to the show, enjoying the Roxy music talk and so on, but, in general, trying to run a record label and make music and stuff.
What kind of music we talking about, Sharon?
I got a spectrum of music that I work on myself, but in general, like the punky electronic kind. I like to say
who are we sounding like when you say that? The Screamers? Who you were referring to?
Oh, the one of the bands on the label is very inspired by the Screamers. Okay. I would say me personally, the pop group Heaven 17, Clock DBA, the early stuff.
Where are you at on Vince Clark? You like Vince Clark?
I love Vince Clark, yeah.
What's
especially,
the best thing Vince Clark did?
Depeche Mode to Yazoo, but Yazoo is maybe one above. It feels a little more triumphant for him.
Yazoo,
yeah.
Feel a little more triumphant to you? I get it.
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, because Depeche Mode, I like some of the later Depeche Mode stuff, so it doesn't really feel like a Vince Clark project in total, even though the first record was great. But
imagine this guy saying this, Vince Clark. Imagine this. He's a young guy. Band blows up. He's in this band, Depeche Mode. It's him, three other goofballs playing keyboards and singing. And then suddenly, the other guys in the band, he comes up with Just Can't Get Enough. They don't like it. They're like, yeah, it's too poppy. Guy's like, I just wrote the biggest song any of us are going to ever be involved with. And they're we don't love it. And then it becomes a top 10 hit. And then you know what he says? I'm out of here. I'm out. Vince Clark quits after the first album. He's in his early 20s. Can you imagine just quitting this band you're writing the hits for?
I do find him a little bit relatable in his sentiment. He's a very nerdy guy. He had different interests.
But then he goes and he makes a demo song for a song called Only You. And he brings it to Depeche Mode. And they're like, we don't like it. They didn't like that song. They didn't like it. And then he says, okay, well, I'm going to get somebody to sing it. So he gets this young woman sings it. And then she does the demo, Alison Moyet. And then suddenly it's like, well, I guess this is a song. And they put it out and it's big. And then they record albums and they don't even get along. And that's the second band blows up. This guy's got these bands that they're blowing up before they even get started. It's the second one. So then what does he do? He starts a project called... Can
Erasure.
You name it, Sharon? No, 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 no.
There's
the Assembly.
Between.
The Assembly.
I feel bad.
And he's like, we're going to do this record. It's going to be me and all these rotating singers. So he gets this one thing and he gets this song. It's one of my favorite songs. It never happens to me. It never happens to me. You know that song?
I think so.
Never, never.
I don't know the band.
Never, never. So then that falls apart after one single. It's like, is Vince Clark always going to be the guy who starts a band and then it falls apart before it goes anywhere? So he finds a young lad who's looking to be a singer of a band, and he's maybe a little poppier than what Vince is into, maybe a little more disco dancier than what Vince is into, Andy Bell. And then they record as Erasure. And then guess what happens when they do their first record? It bombs. So now he's like, what happened? Is it over before it began again? No. He goes to the back to the drawing board, starts working. And then you turn around and Erasure's been around for 30 years now. He did it.
It's an impressive portfolio.
Yeah, it is. Everybody happy they got the story of Vince Clark on the Best Show?
Better be.
A little history lesson. You can buy my book.
I'm going to buy the book. I'm going to pre-order it as soon as I get off the phone. Well, as soon as the Best Show is done for the night.
Well, that's good. You do whatever you want, just as long as you buy it. That's all I need. I need is my help. So anyway, what do you got? So what's the name of your label, Sharon?
Supply Chain Records.
Well, you can set me up with some catalog?
You will get all the music for free for as long as the label keeps putting stuff out.
Well, that is the nicest thing I ever heard. You drop me a line. We'll make this happen. I want to hear some of this music.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
So what is your band called?
Well, I have three different projects. I have Sharon Like, which is like dance music stuff. I have one on the label, Pink Gaff. That's the punkier one. That's the latest single. I guess I wasn't supposed to tell everybody that it's me, because I was supposed to keep things mysterious. But Pink Gaff, and then I have a band. And actually, to bring this all the way around, a few weeks ago you said that you would be willing to produce a record, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is the time or place to ask. But the third one is Trade Show, which is the band, which is me and a few friends. It's kind of a rotating cast of people. And it's really talented players, but it's all improvised.
Okay. And what kind of instrumentation are we talking about?
Well, I sing and do like vocal effects and synths and stuff, but then it's mostly just your standard band stuff with guitar, bass, drums, sometimes violin, hopefully violin for the future, saxophone, trying to get a trombone in there soon. I got a great friend who plays trombone.
Okay. Are you excited about getting the shot?
I am so excited. Yeah. I can't wait to play the shows again. I don't know how it's all going to work yet. So I can't get too excited about it because it's been this push-pull the whole time, but I'm ready.
So you are saying, when you talk about producing, what do you want me to produce, your record?
Yeah, the trade show record specifically. Because it's an improv project, it's kind of a jam band. So this would be your opportunity to shape a jam band and potentially, you know, push it in a direction that's more acceptable to you.
Oh, that would be exciting.
Dance,
but you guys are not literally a jam band.
You know, because the songs aren't written when we show up to the show, I would say it's different from, say, a Fish, where there's like an outline.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like live. And the last show we played, the note was like krautrock is kind of what it adds up to.
Okay. I like it. So you get how long does the average song go?
Well, sometimes the set can be like a continuous 45 minutes, hour and a half. Sometimes we only get 15 minutes or 10 minutes. But as far as the songs break down, I mean, they can be, I would guess, like 3 minutes to 10 minutes.
Okay. That's a good amount of time. That's good. That's good. So, so you tell, we'll talk turkey. We'll talk turkey. We'll talk turkey. You got something for the topic? You have anything else that you want to talk about or?
My, I was gonna, cause I didn't know the parameters of the topic. So I was gonna ask for a commercial for the label, but it seems like we kind of got there already. So.
No, we're gonna figure out a good commercial for it. What's the name of the label again?
Supply Chain Records.
Supply Chain Records. Who would be a good spokesperson for the label?
Well, I was actually going to ask for Iggy, but like Iggy not knowing anything about it, but we kind of covered that earlier in the show. So I have a launching off point. If you got an attention span for it, I'll go through it quick. But there's this record. It's a house record from like 1988 or something by a group called Two Cut. That's two, the number two, K-U-T, called Rock That. And on the record, there's a sample, and it's Blixa Bargeld. And he says, hello, my name is Blixa Bargeld, and I don't particularly like this kind of music. That's not a very good German accent, but that's kind of the minimum amount of advocacy I want on the commercial. It's just for the person to be there. And Blixa might work, but if you've got
a... So you're looking for the equivalent of, like, When that Dos Equis guy is like, I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis. Where it's
I'd be totally happy with that.
Cause that's that kind of thing where you hear that and you're like, he's not screaming about the beer at me. He doesn't even always drink beer. And when he does, he prefers Dos Equis. He doesn't just automatically only drink those. It's like, right. That's kind of, next level advertising. Cause they're getting you to think like, oh, that's a three dimensional person. They're not just screaming about the beer. They're making it seem like this guy's choosing it of all the things. He just chooses it. It's like, yeah, he doesn't exist either. It's just not real. He's different than the other people pitching beer. No, he's not. He's not real. Well, look, so you want to get a thing for Supply Chain Records.
Yeah.
Like Iggy Pop would be like, hey, Supply Chain Records. I want to tell you all about Supply Chain Records. I heard it's a good label. It's worth checking out if you got some free time. Like that kind of thing. It would be like if you got some free time, it's worth checking out. Like they just act like, yeah. Hey, you take it or leave it. Like yeah, that's the secret to advertising, I think, is when they make you think you're in control of the thing.
If you got nothing better to do, check some of the music out. See what you think.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds
perfect. Yeah, it's a mild nudge.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Anything else?
Friend? I mean, if we have time for another commercial, it's a great New Jersey company I'd like to plug, and I have no stake in this other than my band name being called Pink Gaff, Gaff Tape, Pro Gaff, specifically Pro Gaff. It's a New Jersey company. They've saved my life and my job and, I just love some gaff tape. So if there could be a commercial for gaff tape, Pro Gaff specifically.
So Pro Gaff tape. So, okay. You want a commercial for some pro gaff tape. Who do you want to do that?
Okay. Who would do gaff tape? I mean, my default personality character to go to because he's pretty good is Christopher Walken.
Then let's hear it. You do the Christopher Walken. Let's hear your Christopher Walken impression.
My buddy can do it really cool. Shoot, hold on. Give me a second.
You can do it.
Well, I can I start with
If a pretzel is a quality pretzel, it doesn't need salt. It's just a fact. So if a gaff tape is a quality gaff tape, you got to go pro.
I like it. I like it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hopefully that moves some units.
Reach out to me. We'll talk turkey with this music.
Will do. Thank you very much, and you have a good night.
You too.
Hot phones.
Okay, talk for 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay. Mike, is there a number two movie you hated in this batch? Let's say, is it a movie that was made after 1980?
Well, I went back. I generally don't hate watch. I think I mentioned that.
I don't do that, but
people do that, right?
Right, I mean, they do.
They know going in they're not going to like this, but you know they think they can laugh at something.
I have a better question I want to ask you real fast before we get into this, though.
Uh-huh.
How far into a movie does it typically get? Like, are we talking like 15 minutes in, 20 minutes in before Mike is like, nah, this isn't for me? Where does it turn?
I don't turn things off. That's the problem. I try to commit to whatever I'm going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I don't look for bad stuff,
right?
You know, on purpose.
But is it usually early on that you're like, yeah, this isn't going to be good? Or do you at least get like halfway and then you're like, yeah, it went sour. Went south.
Well, I can talk about the best picture of the year, Nomadland.
You hate Nomadland.
Here it goes. Here it goes.
Hate Nomadland.
It's going to go off. I don't know what Nomadland did to this guy.
It just bored me to tears.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters weren't interesting. They're saying stuff, and I guess they thought it was sort of profound, and it's not. So it was just, it was really annoying. But I still predict it's going to win the Best Picture.
You know what I think is probably going to win Best Picture? I think I really still think the Impractical Jokers movie is going to slide in there. I think it's going to get a fair amount of write-in votes.
Is that streaming someplace I could find it? I haven't seen it yet.
I think it's streaming.
Okay. Yeah, I think you can rent it. I don't think it's on any of the... It might be on HBO Max now, though, if you have HBO Max.
You know what else is on HBO Max? The Schneider Cut.
Oh, God. Did you watch?
I still don't even know what that is.
Well, here you go, Mike. So I'll give you the lowdown on the Schneider Cut.
Uh-huh.
There's this guy, Schneider, right? Mm-hmm. And he's not good at making movies.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a nice guy. Don't seem so good at making movies, though. He made 300. Which,
that thing, yeah.
Which, yeah.
Yeah.
300, which, I mean, to me, I see the 300, I see that. I watched like 10 minutes of that and I was just like, it just seemed like a computer, demonstration, movie or something, trying to show just like what you, could do with computer graphics. Like they were just clearly just on a sound stage.
It's hard on the eyes, yeah.
Yeah. So then he made that and then he made Dawn of the Dead, the remake of Dawn of the Dead, which I did enjoy with the fast zombies. But then Schneider hasn't made a whole lot of anything good after that or before that. So then Schneider made this Batman movie. It was Batman versus Superman. It's one of the most boring things I've ever seen in my life. And catch me if I make any mistakes here, Dudio.
No, you're right on the money.
You
so
like
far.
All this nerd stuff.
All the nerd stuff.
So then Schneider makes this, Batman versus Superman. And it's one of the, as I said when I saw it, it was so boring. I saw it at a noon show on the Friday it came out. Packed theater. Now these DC fans are a troubled lot. I think they think superheroes are real. Some of these people, the way they act.
Yeah.
I think the DC people think superheroes actually exist.
Like they come out of the theater and look up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because think about it. Batman is boring. Batman's boring. Batman's fine, but it's still, he's slightly on the boring side. Mm-hmm. Superman, maybe the most boring character in all of fiction. Mm-hmm. He's boring. Wonder Woman, ain't no great shakes. Flash, what? Green Lantern, it's just like, one's more boring than the next. But they're so dry and serious and humorless. I think Oliver Stone did. And the other good thing about Oliver Stone in this audio book is that he says, when he says ideas, he says ideas. And it is very, it's legitimately endearing, no pun intended. Ideas, ideering, endearing. It is endearing to hear him say, when I was working on Salvador, I had so many ideas for the movie. And he sounds a lot like Garrison Keillor, by the way, too. He has a definite Garrison Keillor thing going on. So then Schneider makes this Batman versus Superman. It was so boring that I was in the theater. I had to look at the peanut M&M bag on the floor because at least it was the color yellow and it was helping keep me awake. With this movie was so boring and so drab. Like Superman's costume. What color is Superman's costume, Mike?
Blue?
No, it's gray.
Oh, it was gray in that one?
it's a dingy gray covering maybe what was blue and red at one point. Uh-huh. How about what color do you think Batman's costume is?
It's like black.
No, it's dingy gray.
Dingy gray, too.
Yeah. And so then they're fighting and then they find out that their mommies have the same name or something like that. Is it one of the dumbest things I ever saw in my life. So then it's all building up. Then the next thing he did was Justice League, right? It's all building to Justice League. Cause then you have Batman versus Superman, which is awful. Then Suicide Squad, which had this amazing trailer for it. And then you see it and it's like, it's the worst thing I ever saw in my life. How'd that happen? Uh-huh. And then it's all building to Justice League. And then Schneider's making that movie. And then he has some personal tragedy in his life, which is legitimately sad. And has had a child. He lost a child. Heartbreaking. And again, seems like a nice guy when you read interviews and stuff. Seems like a decent sort. Just these movies are not so good. So then they get another guy to finish it.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, they get him to do it and he's terrible too. So he makes a different awful movie finishing Schneider's one movie. Then all these fans are like, the Schneider one would have been the good movie, but we never got to see the good one. And they wouldn't shut up about it. And I'll say this. To their credit, these fans wore everybody down by moaning, by whining and moaning for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
To where finally the studio's like, fine, we'll put the Schneider cut out. Because they're like, release the Schneider cut. Release the Schneider cut.
Yeah.
That's like when they did, and they had a big thing at Ferguson. I remember one time the fans of the Schneider cut all gathered with their tiki torches. And no, that was not that. And then they celebrated on January 6th. When the word the Schneider cut was coming, they decided to go to Washington, D.C. and celebrate.
And contain their glee.
They couldn't, no. And they just wanted to go tell all the senators about it. That's all they wanted to do. All they wanted to do is make sure Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi knew that the Schneider cut was coming out. Uh-huh. And that they just should subscribe to HBO Max now so they can get it. There's not going to be any problems.
4 hours just echoing throughout the hall.
Yeah, 4 hours.
When did he become one name? He's a one name person?
Who, Schneider?
Yeah, yeah. What's his first? I don't even know his first
Zach.
Name.
What's his first name?
Zach.
Zach.
Steiner. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I didn't think that was his first name.
Yeah.
I thought it was Clark.
Clark Schneider.
I thought his name was Clark Schneider.
I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think I saw The Dawn of the Dead, The Fast Zombies. I think I did see that movie. That sounds right to me now.
I like Dawn of the Dead.
The Schneider Cut comes out on HBO Max, and it's 4 hours.
Oh.
And it's in 4:3.
All right, 4:3.
Do you know what 4:3 is, Mike?
Yeah, it's the aspect
ratio. It's a ratio.
All these old movies.
Yeah, 4:3 is the way Treasure of Sierra Madre looked. Bells of St. Mary, yeah. So this Clark Schneider goes and makes this thing. Oh, Andy Kindler's saying it's Rob Schneider.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's the same Schneider, though, Andy.
Uh-huh. You should call in. I upset him very much.
I'm sure you did. I know a thing with Andy was that it was very exciting. He got the shot. He talked about it publicly. I'm not saying anything. He posted about it. But then the people at the vaccine place saw his special and they asked for it back. They asked for it back.
Can they do that?
They asked for the vaccine back.
I think they have the technology to do that.
Yeah,
you can cough it up.
It's like a full body drain.
They took it back. Back. No, so it was. So the Schneider Cut is 4 hours, and it's like people are like, Batman curses in it. What? Okay. It's a big deal. Batman curses in it? Okay. I got no time for that. But you know what? At some point, I'll watch it. But you know, Mike, what I've been doing lately?
Yeah.
I found a video store out here in Los Angeles.
Oh, nice.
That's right. A straight up old video. Not your idea of a video store, which is,
beaded room.
The trunk of a, the trunk of a Datsun hatchback, which actually would not be a trunk. It has a hatchback, so it doesn't have a trunk. It's a video store. It's called Videotech. And Mike, I'm telling you, you go to this place, it's like a blast from the past. Cause I've been watching all this. There's this thing on Netflix now where it's like,
yeah, I saw it.
The last blockbuster.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, remember video stores? It's like, yeah, I was just in one yesterday. It's amazing. You go there, they got everything. It's so curated and so amazing. Telling anybody.
DVDs only?
Blu-rays, DVDs. Blu-rays.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, plenty, whatever it's out on, they got it.
VHS?
VHS, I don't know if they got any VHS. What are you playing Gotcha? What are you, Mike Wallace?
Yeah.
So, I'm telling you, Videotech. And it's not a commercial for Videotech. Uh-huh. I bought my own membership. I bought my own thing. I am looking for no freebies.
It was a fun thing to do. You know, I watched that, the last blockbuster and yeah, I'm just thinking it was such a fun thing to do. Even, you know, bookstores are sort of dwindling and record stores are dwindling.
Bookstores are coming back, Mike, because It Never Ends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
I've heard there's an upswing in bookstores now.
Yeah, Borders is back.
Uh-huh.
Borders, they're literally bringing Borders back now to accommodate my book. No, it's fun. No, I know what you mean. These things that were treasured institutions,
yeah,
are a little they're on the ropes here and there. But the record stores are doing what record stores are.
Yeah, they've made
their way.
Yeah, they made a little comeback with vinyl. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
I saw Amoeba's about to reopen, or have they already? In
it reopens any day now.
Man, it looks amazing.
Any day now, Amoeba will be back.
So this Schneider cut, I ain't got time. I can't do it. I wish I saw it, but I wish I didn't have to see it to say I saw it.
I watched it. Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Because you love all that superhero stuff.
I do. I don't like that sort of superhero stuff, though. Just wasn't.
What do you
me.
Mean? Where it's just gritty and not fun?
Yeah.
At all?
I mean, I liked the Chris Nolan Batman films. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, but I mean, that there was still a lot of action, a lot of things happening that excited you in those films. For Justice League, it's just, eh.
I think I'm still in the theater watching that third Chris Nolan Batman movie. I think it's still happening.
That one not so good.
Batman,
is that the one with the boat, the ferry?
No, that's the second. That's the second one.
I can't even keep them straight in my head.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of them.
Well, it's very simple, Mike. The first one, Batman fights Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
The second one, he fights the Joker and Two-Face.
Okay.
And the third one, he fights nobody until the final 4 minutes of the movie. He gets thrown in a pit for 2.5 hours. Uh-huh. And you're just like, hey, Batman gonna do anything at any point? Kind of said Batman on the poster.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my ticket here in the seat. It says Batman on it. Uh-huh. It doesn't, this one was not called Batman. Was it called Batman?
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. In the last 4 minutes, he rises. That one should have been called Batman Gets Thrown Into a Pit. if it was going to be truth in advertising, it's like Batman gets thrown into a pit, then rises in the final 4 minutes.
Wow.
And it was over fast, and then he's having a socially distanced meal in France with Alfred.
Yeah. What a ripoff that third Batman movie was. Ay, ay, ay. Should have just been called Batman Gets Thrown Into a Pit, then eventually rises in the final 4 minutes, rips off Bane's mask, and that's kind of it. Then you get to watch him eat a croissant. They could have just as easily called that movie Batman Eats a Croissant. He rises for about the same amount of screen time as we watch him eat a croissant.
And Bane is the character you can't understand when he speaks?
Yes.
Yeah, so that the thing on his mouth?
That's the one that talks like this. Batman, go. Look here, Bane. I go, what's wrong, Batman? How are you enjoying it in that pit? I don't like it in the pit. You'll be there another 4 hours, Batman. Yeah, I got no time for, man, I would watch the Schneider cut if, yeah, I don't want to do stunts.
No. Keep going. What is this?
I want to see people got to retweet my dumb, book tweet. 2000 retweets. No, 1,000 retweets. I got to get a 1,000-2,000 ratio on this. 1,000 retweets, 2,000 likes. And I'll sit down. The second I see it hits that, I'll put on the Schneider cut, which I do not want to watch. But it's never going to happen. People aren't going to retweet this thing that much. And also, I'm working on Ahoy. People should just know I'm working on Ahoy, the show in which I go around reviewing fish sandwiches from different fast food places. I've lined up 2 guests for it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm trying to figure out a co-host. I figure, what if Ahoy was like a strangely high profile show somehow?
Would like an audio Anthony Bourdain type thing?
Or no, if I got like, oh, all the guests are on Ahoy for some reason.
what if you match the sandwiches with wine? Go for a little.
That's a very different show, Mike.
A high lowbrow, and you get everybody in there.
I'd be eating in a parking lot. Be uncorking a bottle of wine. So I'm going to be in a Burger King parking lot.
corking a bottle of wine. Pouring.
I thought you were going to be at home. Breathe. You know, I didn't realize you're going to do this on a scene. Okay,
you can do,
fresh.
You can do a twist. All right. A twist.
These burgers got these fish sandwiches can't get all cold and mushy.
See, I missed a drive-through now.
I got to get these things when they're hot and fresh. Batman. No. So we're working on Ahoy. That should start in a few weeks. I will watch the Schneider Cut if I get a big boom going here for my book book announcement tweet, which again, it's a book announcement tweet. Give me some glory, huh? 1,000 retweets, 2,000 faves.
How many to record a commentary?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. it's going to be enough for me to burn 4 hours of my existence.
But if you're doing it as it happens.
What, I got to watch The Flash? What a boring hero, The Flash. He runs fast. Oh, okay. What's his power? Oh, he's fast. Okay. Do anything else? Nah, just runs fast. If I was The Flash, I'd run backwards and then turn time around. No, I'd go forward so the Schneider Cut would take 5 seconds to watch. If I was The Flash, I'd go the other way. And people are saying now, just like, are there going to be bootleg copies of the book? Is Mike going to have a... No, Mike's not involved in the selling or marketing of this at all. So don't go look. Yeah. Get it? It's AP Mike's headshot going to be on the cover? No, it's not. It's not at all. It's going to be nowhere near the cover.
What if he sells a like gold Sharpie signed version on Bandcamp?
As long as he's buying the book, he can do whatever he wants. He could buy them and then throw them in the sewer. As far as I'm concerned. And you know what? Also, I want the only book I'm in competition. Look, part of me is in competition with every book that's ever been written with this, from the Gutenberg Bible all the way to this Oliver Stone book now. Anything since the printing press was invented, I'm even up against cave drawings with this book. I'm looking to beat cave drawings. Anything that's ever been done. Philip Roth books,
Moby Dick,
yeah. All the books.
Yeah,
I'm in competition with. But especially, I want to really. You know who I want to. You know who's. You know who. That magician the crying magician has a book out now.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's out already.
Yeah, he put a book out.
Oh, yeah. What's it called?
The Crying Magician.
Another title you can't remember.
Nah, I can't remember. I don't know. What was it? Cry, watch my tears disappear. I don't know. That's my only competition, that crying magician with that special. And then Andy Kimmler wants to know if I've seen the new movie, The Flash Drive. That's why they wanted the shot back, Andy.
Just give us the shot, Mr. Kindler, please. Go in that line.
Yeah.
We do have Pat with us, by the way.
Pat, how are you?
Good. Congrats on the book pre-order.
Thank you, Pat. You're a class act. The only one of the three who said congrats. The only one of the three. Mike, where's my free copy? Am I in it? Is there an index?
I was wondering if you brought up the Gutenberg Bible as a reference because you recently watched a TV broadcast of The Day After Tomorrow.
I did not. I did not watch The Day After Tomorrow, the Roland Emmerich disaster movie.
Yeah. Yes.
The one where they outrun ice.
Oh, they outrun ice and the bad guys are wolves.
Well, the bad guy was weather. The
bad guy's weather, but also wolves.
I'd say wolves were like the weather's henchmen.
Yeah, but no, I watched the recent TV broadcast of it, and the Gutenberg Bible is part of the movie, which I forgot all about.
It's in the library. They won't let them burn it for
they won't let them burn it, yeah.
All the other books got burned. Whole library.
Most of the books got burned, yeah.
I will say this. When they were making, when the South Park duo was making that puppet movie they did, Team America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Originally, and there's no joke, they wanted to do that script was floating around. They wanted to do that as the script for the puppet movie before they wrote Team America. They wanted to see if they could do a puppet version of that script. A little showbiz behind the scenes there, huh?
Really?
I'm totally serious.
There's no way.
They didn't make it.
Right.
Somebody said no.
So like the scene where they're like walking over the mall and that guy falls in, that would have been a puppet falling in.
They wanted to do a puppet version of it, yeah.
I got to see that now.
Well, they didn't do it.
They didn't even do like a mock-up? Like a
no,
spec?
They didn't do anything. They wanted to see if they could, if the studio would grant them the rights to do that. And they're like, no, we're going to make this as a real movie.
God, that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Jason, your memory of that movie is pretty good.
It's one of my favorite movies. It is.
Did you recently see it as well?
No, I just remember it. There are movies that I rewatch on a regular basis, and that's The Day After Tomorrow, Twister,
mm-hmm.
2012.
2012, yeah. I was hoping would be on after it.
It's a good one.
It wasn't.
That's a good twofer right there.
I haven't watched cable TV in a while, but it was interesting to remember. Oh yeah, I'm gonna have 6 minutes of movie watch and then 8 minutes of commercials, and I'm gonna sit through 3.5 hours of this.
Yeah.
just because that's what I'm doing tonight, and and I didn't question it.
Yeah, his favorite movies are Day After Tomorrow, Twister, 2012, Schneider Cut.
Not the Schneider Cut.
Hold on a second. I think the Criterion Channel's on the other line. What? Hello? Yes? Oh, you need a new spokesperson?
I'll do it.
Channel? I can recommend, a real film buff works on the best show. Real cinephile.
Two disc, Blu-ray, San Andreas. Yeah, yeah. We could do that.
Oh, you gotta get to talk to this guy.
real arty cinema fan.
I did see all three of those movies in the theater, though.
That is the genre I love.
Did I see all three in the theater? Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see Twister in the theater.
Opening night.
Okay. Twister was, I didn't see Twister. I saw the other two.
I took a date. She broke up with me soon after,
mm-hmm.
probably from taking her to see Twister.
I love that was back when, that was when the movies were like, it was like, this is about a Twister. They're chasing Twisters and they're the heroes. It's like, who are the bad guys in it? Well, the Twister's kind of a villain in this movie, but then there's these evil weather people, like evil. Evil meteorologists?
Greedy, selfish.
Yeah.
Meteorologists.
Yeah. They're in it for money. What? Hold on a second. When you think about it, the people that made Twister are evil, the cinema version of evil meteorologists.
Yep.
They're not making some art movie. They're making the, they're making this. I love when they make some statements just like, they're in it for the money. They don't have any love for the thing. It's like, well, what do you guys have making the movie Twister? You guys have some great love of cinema? You guys are doing the movie equivalent of profiting off tornadoes.
Disaster flicks. I'm old enough to remember the disaster flicks.
Yeah, I mean, look, you get that stuff secondhand. Again, the kids on this show.
Poseidon Adventure. Towering Inferno.
Those are
Earthquake.
I mean,
you probably got that. Your grandpa probably watched those. But I was there when those came.
Backdraft. Don't forget Backdraft.
Yeah, that was the later. Yeah, that was one of the last ones. Backdraft.
Yep. First. Ron Howard.
I did have a follow-up for Jason on Twister.
What do you got?
If Jason, if you had to categorize the heartache of the breakup the same way that they did the Twisters, how would you categorize the breakup? Like, would it be an E or an F, and what number?
Probably an F5.
There was an F that was that big of a breakup.
Yeah, it was a bad breakup. It was in high school. It was my first breakup. She was supposed to come over and watch the America. I had rented The American President.
Oh, so that was going to be the rom-com to follow up the disaster.
Yeah, I was going to make up for my Twister mess up. Wow. With The American President, and she called and broke up with me on the phone. And I watched The American President by myself.
It's an F5. Wow.
Yep.
I'm sorry, man.
There you go. Wow.
But look, if that didn't go how it went, he wouldn't be right where he is right now.
True.
On the Criterion Channel.
On the Criterion Channel, doing a show live from the mines.
I'll say this though, IFC used to be a channel with a lot of integrity. The Independent Film Channel. Tonight they were playing Back to School, starring Rodney Dangerfield. So how long before the Criterion Channel ends up showing Twister?
Playing Porky's.
IFC at a point said, our channel doesn't stand for Independent Film Channel anymore. Like, they're like, that's not what we're about. It doesn't stand for that anymore. It's like, well, then why is it called IFC? What that has to stand for something. No, we're just called IFC. But that does not mean Independent Film Channel anymore. Because I remember I was working on a thing there, and some executive was I was giving them the business, and I was saying, like, oh yeah, I saw a great movie on Independent Film Channel was Eraser, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Great dedication to independent cinema. A lesser Schwarzenegger movie.
And a smaller budget.
Yeah, only $180 million. It's kind of independent. Now, Pat, have you seen this Schneider cut everybody's talking about?
No, I'm not. I'm not seeing it. No.
You're more of a Joker man.
I did see Joker.
Joker man.
And that's as far as I went into the DC verse recent years.
Yeah. The Joker, because I said I would watch this Schneider cut all 4 hours if people get my book tweet to take off. But we'll see. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
The Joker was, I saw it and I was convinced that I liked it because the cinematography is so good. And, you know, you're kind of like tricked into thinking it's a better movie than it is, and then you sit with it for a while and you're like that wasn't very good at all.
But you were in Joker.
I wasn't in Joker. I was an extra, but it got cut. Yeah.
Well, I don't like Joker anymore.
I guess I'd be interested in seeing the Schneider cut of Joker to see if my scene was in that, but
So that's saying that Schneider would slide in and do his own edit of a movie he didn't make.
Yeah. I would watch the Schneider cut of Joker.
I would love that for Twister. If he got in and added 20 more Twisters.
Re-edited Twister, yeah.
How was there nobody at the Capitol on January 6th in Joker makeup? I'm serious.
That's a really good question. Point.
How is there nobody who was there in full on Joker makeup acting like the Joker?
I think there were a few of that. I can't remember the name of the movie. The guy with the goatee, that mask, for what's that movie? I think some people had that thing on.
V for Vendetta?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a whole other thing. But the Joker was that movie. It was like a superhero version of January 6th.
Yeah, the end of Joker. Yeah, so there were similarities, yeah.
Yeah, they should have been, like, dancing down the stairs of the Capitol.
Yeah. You should have been doing a little dance. Great song, too. Not hacky at all. Rock and Roll Part 2. Come on, guys. We got to tighten it up with these film scores. You know, a movie I just watched had a great film score is He Got Game.
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
And it's got Public Enemy did songs for it, but Mike, do you know who did the score for the movie? It was not written for it. It was music that Spike Lee scored the movie.
Oh, with. I know this one.
I don't remember. No.
Pat, do you want to tell Mike who it is?
It was Prince.
No, it's not Prince.
Oh.
No, that's Girl 6.
Oh, right.
He Got Game has Aaron Copland music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All through it. And it's amazing. It really works.
Okay.
It works seriously. It's shocking how powerful it is.
I'm pretty sure I saw it. It was a while. What year did that come out?
99?
Yeah.
Or 97, wasn't it?
Maybe, yeah, 97, because Summer of Sam, I think, was 99.
It had a Public Enemy soundtrack, too, didn't it?
It did, yes. Yeah. They did the songs, but the music, like the score, was Aaron Copland.
That's amazing.
We got any other calls here?
We got 3 calls.
We'll do these, and then we'll wrap up. I got to get my legs under me with this. It's been a roller coaster ride for your guy. And I'm telling you, seriously, this book... See, I feel like I'm just doing commercials for it. Now I got to stop. Never mind. Okay. Let's take a call.
All right. Here we go. Line 4, you're on.
Best show. Okay.
Hi. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Danya in Nashville. Sorry, I'm trying to pause this show right now. Here, I'll just close it.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can. I can hear you. How are you?
I'm ready to hang up.
No, I'm not hanging up. Danielle, you said?
Danya. Like
Danya. How are you, Danya?
With a D. I'm good.
What's going on down there in Nashville?
Not much. I just ordered It Never Ends, so I'm very excited about that.
Nice. Thank you. We have a little pizza party down there. Where's the best place to get pizza in Nashville?
I'm not a big pizza person. I like Roman's. It's pretty good. I couldn't say. I haven't really had much takeout just in general for the past year. So, but Roman's is good.
All right.
Domino's.
Domino's. Come
That's
on.
Cheap pizza. I'm a
you don't
poor,
like pizza. If you don't like pizza, you don't like pizza. That's fine.
I do like pizza. I just haven't had takeout for like a long time since the pandemic.
You've been doing all your own food cooking during the pandemic?
I've been cooking at home quite a lot. I made vegan lasagna for the first time the other night.
Mm. How was that?
Yeah. It came out really good. It surprised me how good it was. I followed the recipe from the vegan black metal chef video.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen any of those, but
I have not seen
pretty
that.
Great. There's just a black metal guy who explains his recipes with black metal playing, and he has really crazy looking knives and makeup, and it's great. Great.
I love it. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Do you have anything for the topic or anything tonight?
I do. I had this idea back like a year ago. A friend of mine made this Instagram account called Alone Together 69 to kind of get people to start making like dating profile videos during the pandemic. And it was sort of like a joke account, but I really wanted to make one that was like a commercial for a dating website that kind of shot like a car commercial. And, you know, I don't know if there'd be a proper celebrity for it, but just like the voice of the guy who does all the car commercial voices, whoever that is, would announce it. But, you know, there'd be like catchphrases like, you know, no commitments, no money down.
Sure. So you mean just like one of those old fashioned local car commercials?
Yeah, with like big, bold, font sizes and like sprays and just kind of bursting out at you. You know, like, but it would have a dating edge to it.
Okay.
So I just really want to make
it. So it'd be like, hey, are you out there? Are you like, you're looking for love or maybe just some companionship and you want to have a good time? It's like, and what would be the name of the service?
I think it'd be something called like, you know, like something really long and ridiculous, like Big Dates for Us, or like something that sounds like a car dealership, like Big Rodeo Dating Surplus.
Okay, that'd be good.
I think you could probably think of something funnier than I could.
So like, come on down to Big Day, like, sign on up to Big what? What are we doing?
Big Pete's Dating Adventure Supplies.
Come on down to Big Pete's Dating Adventure Supplies. You sign up, you get romance, some smooching, or just some good old companionship. You sign up. And right now we got a special going. Three connections for only $29.95.
Yes. Free hand holding after the fifth date. That kind of thing, like, or something more lewd, but I want to keep this child friendly, so I won't say anything very, X-rated, but be like free bleeping after.
All right. What are you running over there? I don't know what kind of business you're running. That ain't what we're looking for.
Yeah, not what I'm looking for either, but.
Well.
Yeah, I just really want that to happen on like a community access TV station somewhere. Late night, 3 a.m. commercial for a new dating service that is only available in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like it, and I think you're onto something. And I hope you find somebody to be Big Pete for your commercials. That'll just be like the figurehead of your commercial, your company. And then when it goes under, everybody'll be mad at that actor the way they were mad at up here. There was a chain called Crazy Eddie, and when Crazy Eddie went out of business and ripped everybody off. Everybody was mad at the actor from the commercial. They thought he was Crazy Eddie. And he's like, I'm an actor, not Crazy Eddie.
Wait, who's the name of the guy that did like the Big Money show? Was his name Jim something?
Yeah, Jim Cramer, who I used to enjoy watching his show a lot. And then with these financial people are all clowns and clods. They're all just clogging the system up like a broken turlet.
But they would maybe be great as spokespeople for this new dating app.
They would be pretty good. Well, you get Jim Cramer involved then.
I really, really would like that. Yes.
He used to do a show. He used to do a show with a guy who I know, Jason Dudio Gore is a big fan of, Larry Kudlow. They used to have a show called Kudlow and Kramer.
God, I love Kudlow.
That they did together. And then Kudlow moved on to the Trump administration.
Somehow that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
He'll be back, though.
Kudlow?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You can't keep Kudlow down.
No, you can't. He's cool. That's one thing. I don't always agree with his stand on things, but the guy is cool.
It's like he's wearing a leather jacket all the time, but he's not.
He's wearing like one of those like bomber jackets.
Yeah.
He looks like he is a bomber jacket. You're just like, oh, he's not wearing one. He just gives off bomber jacket vibes.
And smells of leather.
Yeah. That's the funniest thing when John Oliver does on his show when they talk all about the ties that that his wife, Larry Kudlow's wife, paints ties. Like, it's bizarre. Yeah, it's fascinating. Well,
Danya, I've seen those paintings.
What's that?
That's like her main gig is painting his ties.
Painting his ties, like just like ties laying on the dresser. She does like these very realistic portraits of the ties.
I remember seeing those and thinking, is that the only thing she does? And then learning that I think that is the only thing she does.
Danya, should I send these clowns my book? Or should I make Pat and Mike and Jason buy it?
Oh,
they're not clowns. They're not clowns either. The Joker's a clown. They're not clowns. They're great men.
I'm still going to buy it. I just want to read it earlier.
No, you're going to buy it. You're not going to buy it.
Oh, I am.
Your money's no good here.
No, it's done.
Your money's no good here.
I wanted to say, too, that I'm excited about this supply chain records thing. I'm really into that type of music. And I'm definitely going to check that out because I also make electronic music.
You do too? What kind of music do you make?
Oh, it's I don't know. I haven't listened to Supply Chain, but I imagine it's probably along the same lines as what Sharon, I don't remember what their name was, but what they were talking about, synth punk.
Mm-hmm. Who are your heroes? Who are your favorites in that genre?
Heroes, the ladies from Malaria, Kraftwerk,
Malaria, great. Lilliput also?
Yeah, I love Lilliput, Kleenex. I really enjoyed the Vince Clark story too.
Did you know that story?
No, I didn't know any of that.
You should listen to that song, Never Never.
I will.
Never happens to me. It's sung by Fergal Sharkey from the Undertones. It's these good.
New names for me. I like John Fox.
From Ultravox.
Yeah. And so many others. I like...
Do you like early Human League?
Yeah, I love Human League, and I love Heaven 17, who I think the person who called also mentioned Heaven 17.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you like, that's another, Martin Ware is one of those people who also, he was in early Human League and then started Heaven 17. People were just bouncing from band to band, making their mark.
British Electric Foundation, or what was the other thing that
mm-hmm.
was
yes.
connected with, Is it British Electric Foundation, or am I totally butchering?
No, I think you're right. I think you got it.
That stuff is so great and so weird. I like the weird stuff.
I like the synths when they're, I like analog synths so much. And when they just have that imperfect quality to them, it's amazing.
Yeah, I used to own a Jupiter 6 keyboard, and that thing was just such a beast.
And what happened?
And I toured with it. I sold it. So going to grad school, I sold it. But I got like almost twice what I paid for it. But now I'm kicking myself because now I would have gotten even more than twice what I paid for it.
So you could have bought the school with that thing. You could have owned the school.
That's sad that you mentioned that because the school is actually shutting down next year.
What school was this?
Mills College in Oakland.
Mills College is shutting down?
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think they're getting sold to, like, they're going to become like an institution rather than a college.
So it'll be like Google University or something?
Skype University.
Skype U.
Ableton U. Ableton University. That would make sense, though, too, because everybody who was in that program was really into Ableton and Mac MSP and other softwares. But
you're going over my head. You're losing me here with all the egghead talk. I'm not smart. You got to remember that. I'm not smart. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Of course. And I appreciate the call. And you call anytime you want.
I will. I'll call more often. I used to call a lot more, but it's been a while, a couple of years.
It's been a while. So you pick it back up now. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Two more calls.
Here we go. Best Show, hi. Hello, hi, Best Tom. Show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Eric from Los Angeles.
Eric from Los Angeles. Where in Los Angeles are you, Eric?
Good evening. I'm near Larchmont District.
Where's that?
I don't really know. It's central.
You don't know?
I mean, I'm bad with geography here.
And what's your name again, my friend?
Eric.
But do I know you? Eric.
Yeah.
Did I see you a couple days ago?
Yes.
Okay, I know who this is. Well, I would hope I knew who it was if I saw you in person. That is a good, this is a talented super artist.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you. Because some artists are just artists. Some are super artists. And Eric is a super artist.
Super artist.
The best artists ever were, whoever drew Bazooka Joe.
Bob Ross.
Leroy Neiman, all those, exciting action paintings of
sports art. Yeah.
Sports art of Bjorn Borg. It's always like those.
My favorite. Yeah.
Where it's like, this is what it's like when to watch Bjorn Borg play. This painting captures all the energy of that.
Yeah,
it's
that's like, right. Like action lines and stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, and you can buy it at the supermarket. Now, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call, my friend?
Well, first I want to just say that a couple weeks ago I pre-ordered the book on not on Bezos, another one of the giant, well, the former giant Barnes and Nobles, excuse me.
Or my mother would say, and many people. Many old timers and young timers, Barnes and Nobles.
So I'm very excited about it.
Molly, you're very sweet. I'm excited about it also. Now, Do you where are you at with the synth music, Eric?
Well, I'm not very. I'm pretty ignorant, I guess.
Okay. What would you, when you think of, if I ask you to name a synth band or artist that you enjoy, who would that be? That comes first thing that comes to your mind.
Does that, I mean, like electronic music?
Electronic music, any kind of electronic music.
I really like that guy. I like Black Moth Super Rainbow.
Okay.
That one record by him I thought was really good. I saw that guy at ATP and it was great.
Okay.
Does that count? I think that might be a bad
Absolutely.
Answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I like that.
Mike hates this stuff too.
What's that?
Mike hates electronic music.
He does.
This is stuff him and his crew fought against.
Fought against.
They were mad.
They wanted to shut it all down.
They wanted to shut it down. He was like, it was like Pete Seeger chopping that soundboard.
Or it was like, what's his name, Mr. Marsalis, hating everything after Bebop, like hating everything Miles Davis did, all like Bitches Brew and all that.
Yeah, people didn't He's like wrong. It. There's certain things. Yeah. People wrong. Got their Sorry. Spots, or it's like the people didn't like the non-Schneider cut of the. Of the thing. They didn't like the non-Schneider cut.
I can't, when I hear Schneider, all I think about is One Day at a Time. I can't help it.
Well, that's who did it, right?
Yeah, the guy with the mustache and all the keys. That's what I think of. Oh, well, he did a pretty good job.
Where they're trying to shoot, and then somebody like the first AD has to come over and go, your keys are rattling.
They're jingling we can pick that up on the mic.
We really just need to make sure we don't get that jingle on the keys. It's kind of coming through. Ben Affleck is like, I can hear the jingle.
The keys.
From the keys.
The guy with the keys.
Tighten it up, Schneider. That must be the funniest moment when people are in costume making a movie and then they have to like, stay in costume, and then somebody is like coming around with like food, and they're just like, they're like, we got egg bites, we got egg and spinach, egg white and spinach bites. Yeah, I'd like one. we got mac and cheese, your mac and cheese balls. Yeah, that sounds good. Give me a couple, like. I'll get a couple, like, don't get any, I can't get any on my costume. Batman's got a giant cheese smear on his, cowl. So to what do I owe the pleasure of this call, my friend?
Well, it's late. I have a couple of things. Well, okay. Can I just mention one thing about Twister? Have you seen the other Twister by Michael Almereyda with Crispin Glover, Harry Dean Stanton? I think it's like one of the first Tim Robbins appearances.
No.
Oh, I love it so much. It's so good. Susie Amos, who married, what's his name, James Cameron. I love that movie.
So it's
really strange movie.
Who's in this now?
Well, Harry Dean Stanton in it is so unbelievable. It's worth it just for the Harry Dean Stanton parts.
Okay.
But Crispin Glover's in it, and it's one of my favorite films. It's just such a strange movie. I can't believe it got made. But
it's a tornado movie?
Kind of, but not really. I think it's Michael Almereyda's first one, and I love it so much.
I could picture any kind of like tornado rolling through, and then it's like Harry Dean stands there, tornado be just like, yeah, I'm not gonna bother, I'm gonna change course.
That guy scares me. The focus of it, but it does involve a tornado at some point, but it's really
okay.
It's great. I just, because whenever I hear Twister, I think of that movie because I love it so much. And then I just really quickly want to say that I wanted to thank all the other gentlemen for so far, because it really I love it so much. It really helped me through the lockdown. And I mean, I already am a huge Neil Young fan, but I learned a hell of a lot. And I just love the tone of it. And I don't know, I really appreciate it. So thank all four of you for that. It's really great.
Well, on their behalf, I don't want to hear them talk about it. I don't want to.
Okay. Thank you.
I say no. Of course, they can say thank you.
And just quickly, because that Live It Up cover is just one of the most unbelievable covers ever made. The one thing that wasn't mentioned on the episode was that there's these little guys climbing up the hot dog sticks. In addition to everything you guys said, there's like these little guys climbing up the hot dog sticks like they're telephone poles. That was just not mentioned. I had that in.
Oh no, that detail was lost on me.
If you look at the high res version. You got to download that. You got to
yeah. I got to check. Yeah. This is where my life is at. I'm going to be on the internet all night searching for a high resolution image of the Crosby, Stills, and Nash album cover, Live It Up, which features hot dogs in outer space, basically, is the only way to describe it to people who have never seen it.
Yeah. And the t-shirt is available. I looked it up, and you can get a t-shirt for $20.
There you go, Jason. You get one for your mom again.
Yeah, there's Christmas right there.
That's coming up, right around the corner. And then, okay, so I don't mean to derail the topic because I meant to call in with procrastination, procrastination topic, but I couldn't call in that night. So, and if you tell me if you want to stay on topic.
You do whatever you want, Eric. Okay. You do whatever you want. You want to talk about procrastination? That's what we're going to talk about. Okay.
I wanted to tell you this story for a long time, actually. For many years, I just never had the nerve to call in. But, so anyway, this takes place, I guess, in maybe, I don't know, mid 2000s, I guess. I was living in Brooklyn and I was showing with this gallery. I was showing with Earl McGrath Gallery, who was on 57th Street. This guy was this guy's like a legend, just complete lunatic, knew everyone, worked at Atlantic Records, worked with the Rolling Stones. Like, I think he said he managed them around some girls, worked with Hall & Oates, Peter Tosh, Jim Carroll. I was just reading up on him earlier. Yeah, I read all the stuff I didn't even know about him. He's just this unbelievable guy. He knew everyone. He was best friends with Harrison Ford. He would fly back and forth from New York to in L.A. on Harrison Ford's private plane. Just so anyway, because of my friend Mark Ryden got me, who was showing with him, got me hooked up to show with him. I did a show with him in like 2003. So around the time that I had my show, I think my show was either still up or it had just come down. I was uptown, I was in Midtown, so I went and stopped by the gallery. And I walk in the gallery, he's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, whatever. And the guy's just hilarious. And no one laughed harder at his jokes than him. But he was actually really funny, too. And an unbelievable guy. So I'm in the gallery. We're talking about whatever, something pertaining to the show. And I'm about to leave. He's like, oh, by the way, I'm having dinner tonight at Ahmet Erdogan's place with Led Zeppelin. If Ben E. King can't go, then you have to go, and you have to sit in Ben E. King's seat, the guy that wrote Stand By Me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, he might not be able to go. So if he can't go, you have to come to, and I was like, what? Okay, great. And I left, and I just didn't really think about it again. And I went back on the subway, back to Brooklyn, got home. I had this is embarrassing, but I used to make cat food. Before you could like buy raw pet food, you had to I made this cat food, this raw cat food for my cats, which is like a 3-hour process. Ridiculous, but I used to do it. And so this was the night I ran out, so I had to make the cat food. So I went home and I kind of forgot all about what he had said.
Yeah.
I'm in the kitchen, which is at the opposite end of this flat that I had in Brooklyn, and I'm making the cat food. So it literally took 3 hours to make like a
month. And what are you, what are you baking it?
No, it's idiotic. It's like, go buy the organic chicken, get a food processor, grind it up, mix it with this powder, put it in like salmon capsules, put it in the things, freeze it, like just, you know, it.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a product. You really like your cats, is what
I
you're
really
saying.
Love my cats. I'm just a cat person since I was 5 years old. They really keep me sane. I couldn't really live without cats at this point. So I was just, you know, I would just do it every month or month and a half, whatever. Whenever it run out, I have to make the damn cat food. So I'm making the food. The phone's ringing like 50 feet away from the opposite side of the thing. And I really forgot. And I guess at some point I'm like, oh, wait, that could be him. Nah, whatever. He's not calling. So I'm like, I'm just going to finish the food. So this is where the procrastination comes in. And I'm really a horrible procrastinator. So I'm in with my work and everything. But anyway, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'll just finish this. Then I'll go see who's on the phone. It might be Earl, but there's no way he's calling. There's no way Benny King couldn't go. So I finish the thing. I walk over there. I think I still had an answering machine. So I play the thing back. And Earl, it's like five messages from Earl McGrath. Like, you idiot. Where the F are you? What are you doing? You need to, Benny King can't make it. You have to come up here. You have to come to dinner now because the dinner's going to, you have to go. So he's like, get a suit on, get the hell up here. So I put a suit on, run, get sprinting down the street in a suit, get on the subway, take the subway as far as it goes to 72nd. Then I have to get a cab to like 80 whatever, and then I run down this run from the sub from the cab up. You know, I guess yeah. Well, no, I guess the cab lets me out in front. There's three limos sitting there in front of the place, and I walk in, and they were just waiting for me for like to start the dinner for like 45 minutes or something.
And who's waiting? Who is this waiting?
I walk in, of course, the guy's like, here, may I take your coat? Here's a drink, Mr. Whatever. And I walk in, and it's Paige and Plant and Jones standing there, and Earl McGrath looking at me like, you piece of, and Alan Erdogan's there. And as soon as I get in there, then we just immediately all walk over to the tables and sit down and start having dinner. I made them all wait for like 45 minutes.
Because you were making homemade cat food.
Yeah.
The members of a reunited Led Zeppelin had to wait to eat dinner because a guy that didn't know them was at home making cat food.
Making the homemade psycho cat person cat food.
Well, and, that...
Yeah.
So what were, did you talk to them? Were they nice?
Well, I met them all. I mean, Earl introduced me to them all and I shook their hands and it was like they had all been just gifted an iPod, the newest iPod, which is a big deal. And, so that was very exciting. And yeah, I'd like shook all their hands. Then we went immediately to the tables because they'd been waiting to eat till I got there. Mm-hmm. Apparently they're very strict about it. It was like a boy-girl situation. I had to sit in Benny King's seat. They couldn't have an empty seat. They couldn't have, it had to, you know. So anyway, so I was sitting at the table with Paige and Ahmed Erdogan, which was, and Plant and Jones were at the other table, so I didn't really talk to them. And I was kind of hoping I'd talk to them afterwards, but they were just, after it was over, they were just out. They were all just immediately gone.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I don't think they could stand being around each other for very long, so.
That is some graduate level procrastination and an awesome story. Made cat food. You made the president of Atlantic Records and the surviving members of Led Zeppelin wait to eat dinner.
Yeah.
Because you were home making cat food.
Yeah, I love the artisanal cat food.
That is heavy duty, my friend.
So humiliating.
And now everybody knows it.
Everyone knows
it's
it.
It's one of those stories where you're just like, either I take this to the grave Or I tell everybody.
Yeah.
Those are the best kind. All right, my friend. I'm going to wrap this show up.
All right.
But I was so glad to hear from you, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you have a grand evening.
You too, thanks. Bye.
Okay, all right, bye. Good guy, good guy. Final call.
Final call, here it is.
Final call, here we go. Best show, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Ray from Salem, Massachusetts.
Ray?
Yep.
From Salem, Massachusetts, home of?
Home of, I guess, witches.
Witches, that's right, yes. Home of witches.
Yeah. Caspian, a band. I don't really listen to them, but they came out of Beverly.
Sure. To what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Ray?
Well, I figured I'd call in. I started a Discord channel that's kind of taken off. We got like over 100. Fans in there.
Now, what is that? People can go on there and chit chat and whatnot?
Yeah, it's like a kind of like a chat room, but there's more granularities with like control and rules, so you can set up separate channels and chats and whatnot.
Okay. Well, I hope people are having fun there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hopefully, just keep it light, fun, and just kindness.
Good. Yes. Everybody be kind, huh? Everybody be kind. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's the rush to not be so kind, huh?
Especially in these times, you know. I think everyone's been cooped up, and so I figured I'd make a little server for everybody. We have a bot that checks in on people when they join.
Well, you're a sweetheart, Ray.
Well, I want you to guess who the bot is.
You want me to guess who the bot is? It's probably the bot from
like
Rocky
little,
Four.
Little robot. Yeah.
From Rocky Four.
Nope. That'd be crossover. I don't want that.
What is the bot?
It's Ringo. He gives people a serious warning to follow the rules.
All right. I like that. This is a warning. Very nice. I like that a lot, Ray. You got anything for the topic, Ray?
I will jump in real fast and just say that their Discord's really nice. It's fan-run. Ray started it, and Jessica Elsner has been helping with it, and they're running a tight ship over there. A lot of good friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. I think that's fantastic. I tip my hat to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it is a shame about Ray.
I knew I was going to hear that, Lemonheads.
Well, you're from Boston. You like that.
Of course.
I've never been too good with words. I could have written the songs that guy wrote. I guess they're writing some songs. Might be time for me to start writing some songs. You got anything else, my friend?
Yeah, I just wanted to say another thanks. A while ago, I went to a Sebado show, and I wore a T-shirt I bought off of Pat, and you guys reposted it, and ended up making friends with my buddy Allie, who's hanging out with me tonight. So she calls in from Somerville. We're pretty good friends now.
Well, that's nice. It's a nice connection.
We're going to go to the Basketball Hall of Fame as soon as we're vaccinated.
Yeah. In Springfield, Massachusetts.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, Somerville.
Somerville, Massachusetts.
No, Springfield. She's from Somerville, though.
She's from Somerville, but the museum, the Hall of Fame is in Springfield.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's exciting. Please, when you're there, take a picture I don't know. Who should you get a picture with? Take a picture of, see if they have the Anthony Bonner exhibit still up, which was, I know, a very popular feature of the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. You got it.
All right, my friend. I got a boogie.
All right. Take care.
Well, thanks for doing that Discord. I think that's very cool. And it's very
flattering. Feel free to join if you like. You know, it's low maintenance.
Well, I appreciate it. And keep it fun all over right there. No jerks.
Yeah, of course.
Nobody be jerks.
They'll be bound.
Don't be jerks.
Don't worry.
All right. Well, you have a great night, and I will talk to you soon.
You too.
Okay. Bye. Well, that's a fun best show, huh?
That was a good one.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Getting our sea legs under us again.
1 week off, we come back guns a-blazing.
We come back guns blazing. And it's only going to get better. Just like Howard Jones said, things will only get better. Speaking of synth music. Although he really doesn't. That's not exactly. Well, whatever. If that's what floats your boat, God bless you. You go play Howard Jones all the live long day. All right, my friends. Best show will be back next week. And also, if we get the tweets and the retweets and the faves and likes and whatnots for my book announcement tweet, then I'll watch the Schneider cut. But not a second before. I can't watch that. That's good. It's a punitive action.
It's painful.
And I will, if the word gets out and you get me the retweets, I will sit down and watch all 4 hours of that travesty. All right. But until then, thanks for listening, and the best show will be back next week. And, I wish you, a grand night. TomWroteABook.com. And here's some music to say goodbye. I said, we're going to hear something from our guy, Nikki from Islands. New record coming soon. Islamania. We're going to hear the track that is out now. I mean, where is it? Why can't I find you? Ay, ay, ay. I tell you, what's going on here? Islands, we do it. We like to do it with the lights on. Back next week.
We dance to the song on and on. We do it with the lights on. We like to do it with the lights on. Dance to the song.